This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of sh**.
PFW in Progress.
Poop again!
He called me sh**.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shut up!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. Part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got to think you got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour and then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, Hart, want to touch the hiney?
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and hopefully after this, you'll be smarter. After the 2 hours that we're going to put forth for you today, it's Friday at Gillette Stadium. Fred's here, Tom's here, and the other guys will be here later, and perhaps Mike Felger will be here. Who knows? After all, it is Friday. Tom, what's going on?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Not
much. It's a big game coming up.
It's Friday. There's nothing going on.
Big game. Bill Belichick had his press conference today. There was open locker room. I actually stopped in just to see what was happening in there.
Not much.
And a little stroll down memory lane with Bill Belichick. Belichick today talking about Chuck Fairbanks. Chuck Fairbanks was at practice yesterday, so he was talking about the contributions that he's made to the Patriots and the NFL and even college football as head coach of Oklahoma one time. So that was
he said Randy Moss was one of the smartest players he's ever coached.
Yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. What else? Who was in the locker room, Tom?
Moss was there walking around. ESPN was trying to get him. I don't think they had any luck. Same old Friday. You know, the receivers come out fooling around and, you know, saw Maroney. He was in there. Looks pretty good. I think he'll play this week.
Okay. Would you say it had the typical Friday mood that we've seen this year? Loose, confident?
Yeah, a little more serious maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Probably told to downplay it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What else is going on?
Just getting ready for the game, Fred.
Okay.
Not much.
Marcellus Rivers is back on the team.
Yeah, that happened about a week ago.
Chad Brown is off. We're just getting ready for this thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is it all...
The time for talk is done.
Yeah. I think that, you know, Tony Romo needs to pay attention to football.
What's he doing wrong?
He's doing too many outside things.
You mean unlike Brady and Manning?
Brady does his stuff in the off season.
What's Romo doing?
He's shooting commercials with ESPN, and he's doing all kinds of stuff.
How long does that take? 6 seconds?
Yeah, no. Up in
Everyone
Bristol.
Everyone sucks but me.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's not paying attention to football, Tom.
I think maybe there's some players on that team that might be true, but I don't know if Romo's one of them.
All right. Well, listen, the phone number is 508-543-7482, and on the phone right now is John. Is this John in Palm Bay?
Yes, it is. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, I just have a couple quick questions. I just don't know if you guys – I haven't listened to your show this week. I've been busy working. Would you remember a couple years ago ESPN did the greatest team of all time and had like a fake Super Bowl? If this team wins the Super Bowl and does go undefeated, do you think that if they did that again, the Patriots, this team would be – this is the greatest of all time, or what's the
Well, you'd have to put them, if they go undefeated,
yeah.
I mean, but, however, you know, with the Miami team, was that the number one team in that survey?
No,
it was probably the Bears.
Well, see, that's the thing. You know, even Miami didn't get it, and I think what will hold out back the Patriots, even if they go 19-0, is that they're going to say the competition wasn't as good.
Yeah, but one thing I think that'll help them is their margin of victory. See, the Dolphins didn't blow a lot of people out in those games, and I think when you look back history-wise, that hurts them. Because a lot of people don't remember those games, let's be honest. I never saw one of them. But when you look just at the numbers, a lot of their games were close. When you look back at the Patriots, you're going to see 35-point blowouts, and I think that'll help them history-wise.
I do, but I still think that people are going to say, but they were playing against a crappy league. You know, everyone's saying
If they go undefeated, they will be in the top two with the Bears.
They have to. I mean, look, no matter how bad you think teams are, to go 19-0 would be unbelievable. And look, if they go 14-2 with the margin of victories, I still think that you have to look at them as one of the best teams ever.
Plus, they've already won Super Bowls.
Right.
Like, this isn't just a team that came out of nowhere. They've already won Super Bowls.
Right. Okay. Is that it, John?
The only question is where would you think Tom Brady would rank after this year as far as greatest quarterbacks of all time? I still pretty much think he's behind Montana, but if he does win another Super Bowl, you think he'll be still behind Montana or all?
Well, I think he's behind. I mean, he's up there, but, you know, geez, you can't. Dan Marino and John Elway, we're talking about phenomenal quarterbacks.
Well, let's look at the thing to do, though, is look at how these guys were looked at while they were playing. Because usually after they're gone, their legend kind of grows, and now all of a sudden they become one of the greatest ever. While Elway was playing, until he won those last two Super Bowls,
right,
people were like, you know, well, he was one of the greatest.
That's why I think he's a little overrated. Marino, no way. When Marino was playing, everybody thought he was the best.
Right.
So,
you know, so I think that, you know, if Brady wins another Super Bowl or two, you know, starts putting up phenomenal numbers because he has better plays, once he's done, he'll be right there with Montana,
also argue,
no doubt about it.
But I could
it.
Also argue he's not the best quarterback playing right now. What if Manning wins another Super Bowl?
No, that's I think Manning's up there, too.
So,
yeah,
you know, you have that, too. But he definitely is going to be right up there at the top.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other one is, when you guys come to Miami game, I'll be looking for you guys at the bus, and I'll have a couple of cold ones.
You're looking for us? Oh, cold ones. Okay. I didn't
All right.
know. That was a bad thing. So, you know where? Okay, so you're going to be at the game?
Yeah, I'll be there.
How do I know? Well, when we get close to the game, we'll have to work out some type of recognition system so I know who you are.
Yeah, I'll email you guys and give you something to look out for.
Yeah, something that you're wearing. Okay, great. Thanks, John.
All right, good luck.
John from Palm Bay, one of our frequent callers. And he emails sometimes, but he likes to call. He doesn't mind footing the bill for the long distance from Florida. You know?
Isn't it 1-800?
No, I don't.
You don't
think
have a 1-800
line? 508-543-7482. I read it every
year. You
should
have a 1-800 line, Fred. Help these guys out.
Well, let's take a poll. If we had a 1-800 number, would our listeners call more?
Yes. Yeah, so email in. If we had a 1-800 number, would you call?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like the email, but, you know, I don't mind people calling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, because, you know, what happens when Gary's here? You know, Gary gets all excited when the phone rings, and you know how, like, on EEI or the other sports stations, even if they don't have any other calls, they make them wait, like, 20, 30 minutes. Gary gets a phone call. He's, like, tapping on the glass.
You got to get it right away.
It's like, oh, come on, Gary. We're in the middle of talking.
That could be tough, especially if Paul's talking.
Right.
You never know when that's going to end.
I know. So, speaking of Paul, those of you who have the NFL Network yesterday were treated to quite a sight. Paul Perillo on the
put up the Dukes with
Jamie Dukes yesterday.
And unfortunately for Paul, nobody watches that show. But if you did happen to catch it, then Paul
was on. Well, don't they repeat it like 20 times?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, who's going to watch that? I mean, Jamie Dukes is terrible, you know. And I meant to watch it, and I totally forgot about it. I hope I can see it again. I hope our webmaster has emailed the NFL Network to see if we can get the bite to put it on our website.
Okay. Now, I heard that NFL is actually thinking of packaging up that segment, selling it to Gillette and using it for a men's deodorant commercial. No?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. We're heading down to Dallas on Saturday. Andy Hart is in the middle of figuring out where we're going
to
eat.
I can't believe he doesn't want to go to that Buffalo Wild Wings.
He says he wants to go to a place that we haven't been, you know, that is unique to Dallas.
You know where I want to go? To a place that has 7 TVs.
Exactly.
So I can watch all the college football games and the baseball game. We can eat food that we know is good. We can get big, tall beers. That's all I want to go to.
And they have that at this place. They have the the big point.
Paul's talking about staying in his hotel room to watch the game. I mean, wouldn't you rather go to Buffalo Wild Wings?
Were you here the other day when he was explaining why he is a game that he's interested in, you know, like a Red Sox game, he doesn't like to be with other people?
I have to agree with him on that.
Well, why?
Because if there was a big game on that I had to watch, there's no way I'm
going
to a bar.
I'm not talking one that you have all your money on.
No, I'm talking about, like, my favorite team, if they were playing. I am Mr. Non-Sports Bar. Like, when my favorite team is playing, no way.
See, I like being with the crowd and everyone cheering. And
I don't like beating people over the head with a baseball bat, Fred. That's what happens at those places, because you have so many drunk idiots who yell and scream, and it's not fun for me. Paul, I'm with you on that one.
Okay, all right, well.
I'm with you on that
then
one.
Then I'm in the minority of you two, because I like being, you know, having some cold beer, good food, being served.
If there's a big game for me to watch, cold beer and food have nothing to do with it.
Why?
I don't care about beer or food. I only care about that game.
I thought I was the ultimate fan. But see, I don't know. I just enjoy that.
Beer and food have nothing to do with anything regarding sports.
Anyway, so because the Red Sox are on, Paul is thinking that he's just going to stay in his hotel room and watch.
Well, you know, they're probably going to go down 0-2 that night, so it's going to be a tough game.
It could be. It could be. And he doesn't want to be anywhere near me because he's convinced I don't want the Red Sox to win.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
No.
Now that I got the Yankees out of the way, it's time to get the Red Sox out of the way.
Who are you rooting for? Cleveland?
No,
you don't root for, you root against?
No, here's the problem, Fred. I have no really – now that the Yankees are out, I have no ties. But with the Red Sox winning, it's taking my time off radio shows. So it's taking money out of my pocket. Need the Red Sox to lose so I can get back on radio shows.
Gotcha. So it's completely self –
it's monetary, yeah.
All right. All right, 508-543-7482 on the phone is Mike – from Sharon. Mike, how you doing? Mike. Mike is gone.
What's Mini Gary doing over there?
Mini Gary cut off Mike. Mike, it wasn't us. Sorry about that.
Gary's not here. We have Mini Gary today.
That's all right. Where is Gary's on one of his jaunts. He's going up to Maine to play golf, I hear, with the boys.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he goes on all these trips.
To play golf?
Yeah, in Maine, in the middle of October.
What a moron.
Uh-oh, here comes the doctor.
I don't know. They're having a lot of problems.
Yeah, there's a lot of scrambling going on in the engineer booth. A lot of button pushing and real concerned looks.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of furrowed brows.
I got a feeling Mini Gary's going to be looking for a new job after today.
All right. All the national guys are gone. They got their pizza on Wednesday. They've left. Although you said that were some ESPN guys here looking for Moss.
Yeah, Wendy Nix of ESPN was here trying to talk to Moss. And, I mean, if you turn it on ESPN and then you turn it to CNN, it's basically the same thing. One is the conflict in Iraq and the other is the duel in Dallas.
Okay.
It's just nonstop.
Although, you know, I have to tell you, I know that, you know, I shouldn't complain, but I look at the local papers today and I look at the Herald, and they've got, you know, big weekend in sports. They got Red Sox and Patriots, you know, on the front page. I look at USA Today, you know, big, you know, battle in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the Globe, and I swear to God, Tom, there was not one Patriots story in today's Globe other than a story on T.O., which had nothing to do. It was just on T.O. and a notes column, and that was it.
That's bad.
On Fridays, which is the Globe's biggest sports, it's the Sports Plus section, not one story on the game or on a Patriot.
I don't really,
I could not believe it.
I don't know the reasoning, but I don't think that's really catering to your readers.
No.
Because, I mean, this is a huge game. People want to read about it.
Now, of course, they had a whole Red Sox pullout section, which it's fine. They're in the playoffs. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
I understand that. But then in the regular sports section, there was not one Patriots article other than a notes column.
Man, I don't get that. I don't know who they're catering to. I know the Red Sox are big here, but I could see even if the Patriots were playing, you know, the Rams.
Right.
I know this is a huge, huge game. Even I know it's only week 6, but One,
2-5-0
they
teams.
Don't go to Dallas often.
Right.
And whatever you think of the Cowboys, that's a historic place in the NFL. Two, it's the Cowboys, and there's no middle ground with them. You either love them or hate them. So most Patriot fans hate them just because of the Cowboys. And then you throw in the 5-0, the Tony Romo, the T.O. You can't get any better than that. The only time it's going to get better than this is when they play the Colts.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, Ron Board just leaves, so no one can write a column on the Patriots anymore?
I guess not.
You know? It's boy.
So you're saying bring Borges back?
Oh, somebody. I mean, you know, I know Mike Reese does kind of notes, and he's kind of like the on-football guy, but
they need a column. They need someone to start writing columns.
Somebody
again.
Write articles and
yeah.
features, and, you know, it's this is the Boston Globe.
Right.
You know,
it would be like if the Dallas Morning News didn't have anything about the game.
Right. They used to tout themselves as the best sports paper in the country.
Right.
I mean,
can you imagine let's say the Rangers were in the playoffs, okay? And I know that's not a big baseball place, but could you imagine the Dallas Morning News having like one story about Randy Moss and that's it?
Right.
People would go nuts.
Oh. Anyway, all right, well, that's what it is. It is what it is. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. And, you know, I was watching the NFL, Inside the NFL last night. You know, I think it airs Tuesday night, the first night, but they repeat it throughout
yeah.
the week on HBO. And I was watching that Peter King segment when he was with Chris Collinsworth and Chris Carter and talking about the Spygate thing. I don't get it. I thought Peter King was pretty rational, but he is just fixated on the fact that the NFL is doing this big cover-up. That they're covering up all this
stuff. Well, I think the problem him and some other people have are that the tapes were destroyed so quickly.
And he's asking why. And Goodell had a very good explanation for that. They always intended to destroy the tapes so that if anything, because they made the Patriots promise that that was everything, that they mm-hmm. gave him everything. So now he knows if anything resurfaces, he knows that the Patriots lied to them because
they're
destroyed.
So now what were on the tapes?
It was, well, whatever it was, he didn't think it was.
But let's just suppose, and we know this would never have happened because even if they had it, they probably wouldn't give it to the league. But let's suppose they taped something before a Super Bowl, right?
Right.
The NFL's not going to tell you that.
Well, they're
going to destroy it with the rest of the tapes.
Roger Goodell told Costas that there was nothing on the tapes regarding playoffs or Super Bowl.
Yeah, and where are the tapes?
He gave them to Goodell.
No, they're destroyed.
Yeah, now they're destroyed.
So I can't prove Goodell wrong, so he can say whatever he
wants.
No,
he can, but, you know, that's what he said.
But I think that's where people like Peter King are coming from, is that they're wondering why they were destroyed so quickly. And here's the other thing I would say. Do you have any kind of new information?
No.
Do you have any?
They
you know
don't.
What I mean? If you don't, then get some.
Right.
And then talk about it. Just stop bringing up the old – don't keep saying, well, why. Tell
right.
me why. Go find out why
right.
and then come back.
I mean, it appeared to me that there were a lot of conclusions you could come to. One of them was the one Peter King came to, but he didn't talk about the other nine,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you could logically come to. He was just fixated on that one. Anyway, Mike is going to give it another try. And Sharon, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Fred.
Sorry about that. That wasn't us.
That was Mini Gary.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Gary taking a vacation in the middle of the season.
We had a little crisis.
Yeah. Anyways, in terms of punting, and, you know, I think Hansen, you know, last week once again was asked to kick it out of bounds. But, you know, it was going, you know, 20 feet up and then directly out of bounds. It wasn't, you know, going far. So it's almost like, why not just go for it on fourth down? But, I mean, this could be a problem, you know, especially come playoffs when we have, you know, really good defenses to go against. Randy Moss, you know, finally got at least, you know, somewhat shut down in the Cleveland game. So,
no, I agree, Mike. You know, that first game, you know, he was directionally punting, and that's what they asked him to do. But last game, you know, I wasn't impressed. I don't think. There was one he had for 29 or 39. That was the longest one he had.
He's terrible.
He's a hang time punter, but maybe he needs to drive it a little bit because he's getting no distance whatsoever.
Let's just say his stranglehold on that job is lukewarm at best.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, take a look at, what's his name, Ken Walter. I mean, we had him for 2 years, and the reason why we kept him was because he was a holder.
Walter had his first year here; he was decent.
The year they won the Super Bowl, he was miserable.
Yeah, but then he fell off. You know, and I've seen that happen with punters. They do well, and then they just, you know, they just get out of sync. I don't know what the deal is. Josh Miller was good for a while, and then he just kind of lost it. So
well, plus he had the back injury, and that's never good to keep a punter.
Sure. No, but you're right. Luckily, with the way the Patriots are playing, punting isn't a huge issue in the way the defense is playing as well. But it could come, you know, it's something you have to keep your eye on.
I would say if he doesn't start punting better soon, that someone else will be punting instead of him.
It could. I mean, Bogger was better than him, wasn't he?
Are you going to be the first one on the bus this weekend?
Is what?
Are you going to be the first one on the bus this weekend?
Oh, no, because you have to sit on the bus and wait for, like, ever. So I try to get there a little late. But I'll be ready to go.
Yeah, you must be excited.
Big game. More importantly, I'm just excited about a big game. The Patriots have been blowing everybody out by so much. It'll be nice to see, hopefully, a somewhat competitive game, at least for a little while.
Yeah, especially at Dallas. That's just huge.
Yep. All right, Mike, thanks for the call.
Yep.
And we're going to get to more of your emails in a moment. We're going to take a break.
Girls only want boys.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drive the forum and the goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and there is it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your ticks.
And get the Revolution.
Revolution.
This is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot specialty license plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here, PFW in progress. They're yelling at each other in the control booth now. All hell's broken loose in there. All right. Okay.
You can't turn it off.
Jeez. All right.
All right, it's back to normal.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. And we should get to some emails, huh?
Go ahead.
Maybe. Because we're pretty soon Felger's going to be coming in, and he's going to usurp the whole place because he's got to do his interviews with his his players. Are those interviews any good?
No, they're terrible.
Are they?
He's an awful interviewer.
Okay. Now there's more stuff going on. Now what's going on in there?
I don't know. This is amazing.
Anything's possible with Commander Cuckoo Bananas in charge.
All right.
God, who would have thought Gary was that important?
Let's see. Henry writes in. He says, is it me or is this game being blown way out of proportion? My first problem is the Romo-Brady matchup. Please, insult me if I'm wrong here, but are people comparing Romo and Brady in Manning's league? To me, that seems absolutely ridiculous. Please hit me with some knowledge if I'm incorrect. My main point, though, is that both teams are 5-0, and neither have played any exceptional teams yet, but the Patriots, even when playing badly, have managed to blow them out. Dallas could hardly beat Buffalo. All Romo's fault?
But they did blow out everybody else.
All Romo's fault? Maybe. I truly don't think that these teams are as evenly matched as everyone says they are. In my opinion, Dallas are a serious underdog here, and it would be an upset if the Pats lose this game. Patriots on this one, don't get me wrong. I think Dallas is okay, and they will provide the first real test for New England, but it will only be a test. Patriots all the way. P.S., bring back the leg. Missing his insights on kicking. Maybe it was just a slump. Don't know what's more exciting, Dallas versus Pats or Fred versus Felger.
Give me a break.
Well, people should be excited about this game. I mean, for week six, it's a big game. You know what I mean? It's, hey, maybe 6 weeks from now, Dallas will stink, and it won't be that big of a deal. But right now, it's a big game.
Right.
And, you know, hey, no one's comparing Romo to Brady. The guy's got 15 starts in the NFL. He might not be in the league in 2 years. Who knows? You have to do it over long term. And I don't think anybody thinks this is that evenly matched. The Patriots are a 6-point favorite on the road against a 5-0 team, which I believe I read is the first time in history that a home team being 5-0 is an underdog in the NFL.
Wow.
So that tells you something right there. And they're not only an underdog, it's getting close to a touchdown underdog.
Yeah, it's going up.
Listen.
So the money's coming in on the Patriots.
The team getting all the respect is the New England Patriots. Right. Nobody in the world thinks that they can lose a game. Most people think if they beat the Colts, that's it. It's all over. So I don't think Dallas, maybe they're a little bit overrated because they're an NFC team. I will agree with that. And I don't think they're going to beat the Patriots. But, hey, it's two undefeated teams. Let's have fun with the game.
Okay. Let's see. Tim. Nope, that's the wrong one. Tim says, he thinks the Patriots will win because, one, Brady's great on turf. Two, the O-line is keeping number 12's jersey out of the laundry. And three, Randy Moss. So he's predicting a 37-20 Patriots win.
Well, that sounds about right. I wouldn't be surprised if the final score was in that neighborhood.
Matt from Oregon writes in. He says, hey there, you Peckerwood bitches. I haven't heard Thursday's podcast yet, so I'm not sure if Professor Cuckoo Bananas has changed his tune. But, Fred, if you're still picking the Cowboys, then I'm very disappointed in you. You're totally pulling a Felger here, and don't think we haven't figured it out. You're stirring the pot to drum up some controversy and get people talking, just like that douchebag who ruins the last half of your show every Friday. And to think I backed you up about the webpage and about Fitzy. To say that you're worried about the Pats getting too loose and that they might not come out swinging on Sunday is one thing, and God knows that all of Patriots Nation is afraid of that happening. But to pick the Cowboys outright is just silly. We're not fooled for a second. We know who you really think is going to win the game, so stop playing us for fools.
Good email. Good, solid email. Telling it like it is.
I see. I got people worried. They don't like me being on the other side.
Not worrying me.
It ruins their equilibrium, you know?
You're just doing this to get a rise out of me. I know you are.
I'm not. Tom, are you that egocentric that you think
yes.
that
Bingo.
I would make a pick just to get a rise out of you?
Yes, because I think you know if the Cowboys were to win, I'd be riding your butt, and now you can at least say, hey, I picked the Cowboys.
Why don't you pick the Cowboys?
Because I don't think they're going to win.
I know, but now if they do win, you can't ride my butt because you didn't pick them. Good. You eat your butt.
That has nothing to do with it.
Obviously,
I'll call them the best team in the NFL,
get
which they will
the
be.
Fence. If they beat the Patriots, absolutely.
Right. Well, you can't deny that, no matter if I pick them or not.
No, no doubt.
Listen, Fred.
Too bad you didn't stick with them.
No. That's, see, to me, that's being you. when you just pick the Patriots no matter what. I looked at the game.
But I didn't
think
the Patriots.
Yeah, this time because you're being a moron. But I'm saying I looked at the game. I just thought the Patriots are going to win the game, so I picked the Patriots. I'm not going to pick the Cowboys just to say that I picked them. That's stupid.
Well, before Monday night, I honestly had this feeling that, you know, going on the road in Texas, they never really have played well there. You know, not that this team is any correlation to past teams, but they just, you know, historically haven't done well in Dallas. And all those things added up. You know, I just thought that the Cowboys could win this game.
All right.
You know, so I'm sticking with it. I'm not going to let Monday night's performance change that.
No, I wouldn't. If you thought the Cowboys had a chance before, I would take Monday. I would almost say that Monday night's game helps your cause.
Yeah.
Because they look so bad, they're not going to look that bad again.
Right.
So you know that they got that one. They laid an egg Monday that they'll at least somewhat play well against the Patriots. Maybe they don't have enough talent to get the job done, but I think they will at least play well.
Let's see. Justin in Alaska wants to talk about hot chicks and cowboys.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
First, he says, you want to talk about the ugliest chicks. My number one is, were we talking about girls yesterday or something?
I think you guys were on Wednesday when I wasn't here.
Oh.
You were here, weren't you?
No, I don't think I was Wednesday. I'm not sure.
I think you were.
Yeah. He says, the number one is Sarah Jessica Parker.
She's terrible.
She is a man in bad drag. If you've ever heard of the movie Real Genius with Val Kilmer, then you'll remember his co-star was an actor named Gabriel Jarrett. His twin brother had a sex change and became Sarah J. Parker. If you think I'm kidding, go look at Gabriel's picture. It's scary. Sarah has a wang, and I'm not talking about a computer.
She is ugly.
Let's see. Hot chicks are easy to find when you're married. They are called single girls. Am I right, Paul? Yeah, Paul knows what it is to scam on hot teens. You know that his picture is posted at Foxborough High with warning, if you see this man, tell a teacher under it. Jeez, I didn't know Paul had that type of reputation.
I didn't either.
Pedophile? He's a lot of things according to Andy, but I've never heard Andy call him that. That'll be a new one for him. Let's see. But if you watch CBS's Rules of Engagement, you'll see two of the hottest chicks on TV today, Megan Price and Bianca Kajlik.
That's a good show.
I've never seen the show.
It's a very good show.
See, if Gary was here, he would know.
It's funny.
Are those two good?
The brunette is very hot.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Football, as much as I'm a Fred fan seeking counseling about that, I have to say he effed up picking the Cowboys. The Pats play up to the event usually, which means that when it's a big game, they play big. The Cowboys haven't had a big game with this crew anyway. Well, they did last year, and they, again, Romo blew that game for them too.
Well, I was going to say they beat the Colts.
Yeah.
Last year.
Oh, during the season.
Yeah.
I was talking about the playoff game when Romo dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Eric. Wants to talk about Eric. So he said, cowgirls, hot chicks. He didn't mention Eric. I wonder which category he falls into. Is he a cowboy or a hot chick?
I'd say cowboy.
All right. The reason he's not working out on the air is that he's an artist. He's sensitive and has other girl-like qualities. These boys are hanging out, eating free food, arguing about who they'd rather start, Zolak or Castle. They got one hand scratching their mailbag and the other one knuckle-deep in ranch dressing, where Eric is thinking, should I use more Latin-based or French-based words for my piece about Welker's garden?
Well, Fred, I just want you to know that we all won $1 million because we bet $1 million that you wouldn't read that on the air, and you did. Congratulations.
Yeah, but I left out a few parts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Paul had read it to us off the air, and he said, well, I wanted to read it to you because we can't read this on the air. And I said, well, you never know with Fred. And
what was wrong with that?
I don't know. It was nothing.
Nothing.
All right.
So who won the $1 million?
I bet it with myself.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was just funny when you started reading it because I was like, yep, there it is.
I guess I did.
So which side were you on? That I would read it or not?
I bet myself $1 million that you would read it.
That I would read it. And Paul said I wouldn't?
Well, we didn't think that you would read it on the air when we were talking about
so
it.
So did you think I would read it or not read it?
No, I bet myself $1 million. I said to myself after we had talked about it, I said, I bet you he'll read that on the air.
But no one else thought I would read it.
Yeah, they weren't against it, but we said none of us would read it. How about that?
I thought it was a good email.
It was a good email.
It's funny.
It's funny.
Everybody gets made fun of here.
I know, but Eric can't take it. He's delicate. He's a delicate flower.
Well, we're going to have to, you know.
You know, he gets upset.
We'll have to give him some of that miracle growth so he gets more sturdy. You know?
He's, you know, the emailer's right. He's artsy, you know, he's got feelings. He's not like us.
That's true.
It is.
We don't have feelings.
No.
We do not have feelings.
Paul has feelings. You can hurt his feelings.
Well, yeah, only his, though. You know, he doesn't care about anyone else's. You know, he has a career to worry about.
Yeah, he's on the NFL Network
now. Jamie Dukes. John in L.A., someone please, for the love of God, slip Eric a Mickey, an ecstasy tab, some puppy uppers, anything. Anton Chekhov had more pep. Hey, Eric, Columbine call. They want their trench coat mafia vibe back. Wow.
There's nothing better than Eric getting slammed on the radio.
Well, you know, he's just different than us.
Yeah.
I think we cater to a certain clientele that is kind of in your face.
There's nothing better now than when we do the picks and he comes down with his little sheet. He has the team names written down, like Ravens. Like, are you going to forget that you like the Ravens?
You're on the list. I think maybe we need to get Eric his own show. You know?
Yeah, that'll be big.
Maybe you could, you know, appeal to a different demographic.
Yeah, like that guy who draws pictures on that PBS.
Oh, that with the curly hair.
Yeah.
He's dead, you know.
Oh, is he? Eric can take over for him.
Yeah, he's dead. He had the little ferret in his pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, Eric would have to take a picture first, then trace it.
Oh, now you're talking about his livelihood.
His livelihood is working for the Patriots.
I don't know. I think he makes more money drawing. Don't
I
you?
Say he doesn't make a cent.
Oh, okay. Mark in Melbourne, Florida. Love the show. Try to listen to it every day. Well, I happened to turn on the NFL Network, and there was Put Up Your Dukes show, and Jamie Dukes was talking about the Patriots. Then he went to a, quote, expert, none other than Paul Perillo.
What's up, Paul Perillo?
First, I was shocked at how much of the screen Paul's head takes up. Then I was grateful that my entertainment center didn't break between the weight of Perillo and Dukes on the same show. Finally, I was shocked that Paul didn't tell any of the jokes about Jamie Dukes that are said on PFW in Progress. Anyway, I'm looking forward to the game on Sunday. Do you think the Patriots can run on the Cowboys, or will they try to spread the field again?
No, I think they throw it all game long. You know, then maybe they get a lead and start to run it a little bit. But I think the way you want to attack the Cowboys is get as many defensive backs on the field as possible because their strength lies in the front seven. And, I mean, I think great coaches like Belichick and Bill Walsh, they make things simple. Like Bill Walsh said once, we'd had thousands of plays, but if the same two plays worked in a game, we just kept doing them until they stopped it.
Sure.
And I think Belichick makes it simple because if you stop the run and can't stop the pass, he's not going to try to get balance. He's not going to try to get Sammy Morris. And he's just going to throw it.
Right.
And I think that's what he's going to do against Dallas.
Yep. And he's got a guy in Tom Brady who, if he sees something, will
take advantage of it.
He'll change it at the line,
yeah.
and he'll change up. So
the combination of those two together is what makes this team so hard to beat.
That's right. Let's see. Mike wants to talk about the Cowboys' mindset. Said, did any of you guys catch the SportsCenter segment about the Cowboys? I did not see the entire piece, but the Cowboys either had a press release or something in the paper talking about the magnitude of this week's game. After seeing that, I have no doubt the Patriots will win this game. How can a team have the mindset that a Week 6 game is like their Super Bowl? Just seems that the Cowboys are psyching themselves out. I think the Cowboys have the talent to possibly win this game, but after seeing that, the team does not have the mental fortitude to go up against the Patriots and win. Also, we all know that Fred is using reverse psychology on himself, and in some sick way, that will help the Patriots win. But if you want to find out his true feelings on this game, make a bet with you. Make him bet with you. If he is willing to fork out some cash or pay for a nice lunch or something, then maybe he will gain some credibility with his Cowboys pick. If he refuses to bet, we know that he is full of Eric Scalavini crap.
Well, I already know you're full of Eric Scalavini crap, so we don't even have to do
you
that.
You wouldn't dare bet me because then if you had a payout, that would be awful. Right?
Why? Because I would have the Patriots.
Yeah, you'd have to bet against your team. You don't want to do that.
I don't think they're going to win.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying if you were to bet me, I pick the Cowboys, you pick the Patriots, that would kill you if you had to pay out.
Not really. I love money.
No?
If someone said you could have $1 million, pick the game, my million's going on the Patriots.
Right. All right. I did pick him in the picks. I mean, you know, everyone else picked Dallas. I mean, the Patriots. So, you know, that's another game I would lose if I'm wrong.
Yep.
So, Andy in Sioux City. Hey, guys, holy blank. I just took out my second mortgage so I could bet on the Carolina game. If Vinny is their starting quarterback, then this game is a lock. Carolina may not score, and you could see a record set for sacks in a game. Can Vinny walk out without a cane? Patriots 38, Dallas 21. That's for the other game. All right. Is Vinny starting that game?
He might.
Wow.
David Carr is injured, but
that's unbelievable.
The line's 4 for a reason.
Okay.
Vegas doesn't like dishing out money, so.
webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Steven says, I was listening to yesterday's PFW in Progress and heard a song on it. I was wondering if you could tell me the name of the song and the artist. It was played just before the weekly picks, around 1:16 on the podcast. It also had a soundbite at the start of Tom's pick. So is this the song? What's the song?
Yeah, I think that was it.
That's Entourage. That's the
Jane's
opening.
Addiction Superhero.
Yeah, it's the opening to the
Jane's
Entourage.
Jane's Addiction Superhero. Okay, so there you go. So go to iTunes and go buy it. Okay. 508-543-7482 is the phone number, and PJ is in Philly. PJ, how you doing?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, PJ, me and PJ, we share a common bond. We both hate Paul.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but we're also opposite. I hate the Cowboys.
Right, you're an Eagles guy.
Yeah. So what's going on, guys?
Nothing much. What you tell us.
Yeah, listen, I just wanted to know if you guys saw there's an article on ESPN.com. called Mythbusters, or not, the Scheme Busters.
Scheme Busters.
I haven't seen it yet.
It lists the top 10 guys of different categories, and they have a junior sayout in the been there, done that category, where guys that were great and not so good anymore. But they also have Adelius Thomas. They ranked number 2 in the overrated category.
This is Sal Palantonio's piece that he did.
Oh, where he has the, yeah.
Am I right, PJ?
I'm not sure if it was Palantonio or not.
Okay.
No, Palantonio's writing a book like that, I think.
Oh,
I
okay, think okay. All right.
But anyway, they have Adelius Thomas ranked number 2 in the overrated category.
Right.
And they have a scout.
Oh, this was from a scout. They got it, right?
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Said he's not quick enough off the edge, he's too stiff off the edge or something like that.
Yeah, it says he gets cut a lot and he's on the ground a bit. And it says there's a lot of hype with this guy and I just don't see it. And in the junior sale, right up there, talking about the linebackers, and they said Adelius Thomas is like a fish out of water in the middle.
Right.
And I just wonder what you guys thought. I mean, it's hard to see on TV how good an inside linebacker is.
Well, there were quite a few scouts that when Randy Moss came here thought that he wouldn't do much. So for what that's worth.
Well, he's asking – this guy's saying – this guy's commenting on what he has done here. This isn't before he got here. He's talking about right now.
Well, I mean, last game, I think he was a little hurt last game. He looked a little ginger out there. I think he's played great.
Yeah, I mean, he's been fine. I don't think he's a natural inside linebacker. And what I mean by that, I don't think he has the instincts of a Junior Seau. Like, Junior Seau, he surprised me more than anybody coming here and still being this good. But he just has great football instincts. I don't know if Thomas has that, but he makes up for it with just great physical ability. He can run. He's strong. He can fight off blockers. He's versatile. I just think maybe if you put him inside in Chicago, maybe if you put him inside in Dallas, he doesn't work. But here in New England, with his versatility and doing the things that he does, I think he's been fine.
Is Belichick moving him all around the field like we were told at the beginning?
Yeah, he's been playing some on the outside now, and I think against passing teams, he's going to play more on the outside. We saw that against Cincinnati. I think you'll see it this week against the Cowboys.
Really? With Barber and Jones, you think he'll be on the outside?
Not all the time, but like on passing downs.
Oh, yeah, they'll move him more. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like against the Colts, I think that's why they got him. I think he's going to be playing a lot on the outside against the Colts. He's been playing down line, defensive end. So yeah, he's been all over the place, and that's why Belichick wanted him, because he's got one guy to play 3 different positions.
Yep.
Yeah, there was so much hype when they got him, and I was so excited, you know, to see him. Being in Philly, I don't see many games. I've seen, you know, obviously the primetime games. But seeing that on the website, it made me think, like, Is this guy is going to be a bust, or is he turned into a bust?
Well, here's the thing, PJ. Was that one scout, like, if he had, like, if he talked to a bunch of scouts who were saying that, then I would say to myself, I'm going to have to keep an eye on this. But did he talk to 10 scouts, and 9 of them were high on Thomas, and one scout said, I just don't see what the big deal is? Because the scout did say, like, everybody's making a big deal about him. Well, who's everybody? Are all the other scouts that you're talking to, do they think he's been fine? So maybe there's just one guy. Because if you want to prove your point on anything, you can get one person to back you up on anything.
Right.
Right.
I agree.
It's like those medical witnesses that they have in court. They bring in one doctor,
yeah.
You know, some quack who will do anything for a buck, you know?
Well, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, take care.
That's PJ in Philly. We like our Philly fans out there.
Yep. PJ's a big fan.
Yep. They love their sports out in Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Steve is from Halifax. He says, regarding your discussion on Vic and getting the money back, I'm a third-year law student, albeit in Canada, and from my study of contracts, I thought I'd comment on it. Fred is sort of correct when he says it's a breach, but a breach is the wrong term. Because Vic knew he was engaged in these illegal activities that could kill his career in the NFL if discovered, and that he didn't advise the Falcons of these activities, he did not properly make full disclosure, and so, in essence, the contract was a fraud against the Falcons.
Mitty Gary, what's going on? What the heck are you doing in there?
I hear. Who are you calling? You calling Flanders?
No.
What are you doing?
He didn't hang up the phone, I don't think.
Oh, okay. Anyway, he says he did not make full disclosure, so the contract was a fraud against the Falcons. It's because of this fraud that they can and should be entitled to recoup bonus money, even for signing, because, in essence, that signature doesn't legally exist. I may be wrong here. Contracts was first year, but that seems to be right to my memory. Well, it does make sense. If he was doing this dog stuff before he signed his contract, you know, whether it's his first one or his second one, he didn't disclose the fact that he was violating.
It's like insurance, pre-existing.
Exact, pre-existing condition,
yep.
Yeah. So it makes sense. What? You're making signals.
I'll tell you one thing. Don't go to a break because we'll never get back
on
the air.
Every time I look in there, he's doing something.
This is an
running
absolute
in.
Abomination.
And then I don't know. What does this mean? You want a cup of coffee? What is that?
I'm telling you right now, you could put a monkey in there and he'd do a better job than Mini Gary.
I'm all confused. I have a hard enough time as it is reading these emails. Now, he's making hands.
It's like he's on third base, giving
Jesus
you the
Christ, it's like
giving
I'm
you
doing
the button
the
sign.
Radio with Helen Keller in there. I you know what the heck's going on here? All right, let's see. Let's get to the RJ's in Vegas. All right, a lot of activity in this week in Vegas. I think this is a big betting week. Vegas.
Every week's a big betting week.
You got the baseball and you got the football, a lot of stuff going on.
Okay.
No?
The biggest betting weekend is the NCAA tournament weekend.
It's not NFL Super Bowl?
That's the biggest betting day.
Oh, betting day.
Yeah.
Okay. Which weekend in NCAA?
The first.
The
first Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that first weekend.
Okay. RJ says, a couple times now I've heard Andy say he loves Pamela Anderson. Well, she does a show here in Vegas with an idiot magician. I went to the premiere party and saw her in person a few months back. Not good. She looks officially thrashed and old. I had an awesome picture of her from the party, and she looked really, really bad. I'll try to find it. Hey, the NFL Network actually called the Pats vs. Cowboys the game of the century. Unbelievable. I'm just hoping it'll be a good one.
So, game of the century?
That doesn't make
sense. No.
That doesn't make sense. He also has a link to Jessica Alba showing her boobs.
Oh, I'd like to have that at some point.
Okay, well, I'll forward that to Tom Casale.
You're asking Mini Gary to do that?
Yeah. So
this guy couldn't hang up the phone, and you want him to forward an email
to
me?
I thought we were going to have a good guest or something call in or something.
He doesn't know what he's doing in there.
Hey, is Flanders moving his office?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Where's he moving to?
I have the pro shop, I guess,
is the
word.
He's out?
Yeah, he's out.
Wow. Next stop, Route 1? He comes into the men's room the other day, and he's talking to somebody, and he goes, yeah, I was down in NFL meetings at, you know, such and such a place, and, you know, I played on their golf course, and I felt really out of place. I said, where, in the golf course or in the meeting? He goes, oh, thanks for the backup, Fred. Oh, my goodness.
All right. I was
watching that Latin channel again.
Out of emails?
Something caught my eye. No, we got emails. It's Friday. Everyone's getting ready for Felger. You know?
Well, what are we doing here then?
I don't know.
Just give Felger his own show.
What is this? Great news from pro players. Oh, for crying out loud. Why are they sending me their ads? All right. Fred is from Montreal.
Okay.
He says, I reserved the B word for cute girls who won't give me the time of day, and you don't qualify on the cute factor. What does that mean?
Bitch? Yeah.
Okay. This is like we talked about this 3 years ago. He's just getting around to sending us an email?
Maybe he heard it on the podcast.
He also wants to know, is Senior Seau going senile? Senior Seau really trying to emulate Deion Primetime Sanders on his interception return last Sunday? Even Deion only did that when having a 10-yard lead on everyone else on the way to the end zone. What got into him, in your opinion? I know this is just nitpicking, but what else can we do?
I just think it was a brain cramp.
But he kind of just like lifted both arms. Like, I don't know, what was he doing?
I have no idea.
At first I thought he was looking for someone to lateral to.
But he was just, I don't know what he was doing. I have no clue.
It was like, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was like a Chris Berman perfect scenario.
Yeah. Anyway, can the listeners send Tom an uncut turkey sub in exchange for immunity to have anything stuck inside them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
I can give you a no stuck inside you immunity.
So you get a turkey sub, you promise not to stick anything inside them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a fair deal.
I'm sure the women will be lining up to send me turkey subs.
By the way, we had a wonderful lunch sent down yesterday from Sergeant.
Yes, Lucky is his name.
Lucky, and that was great. Even though by the time I got here, mine was cold. I still ate it with relish.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky.
Ken. It's from Huntington Beach, California. Says, we're talking about if we had a 1-800 number.
Yeah.
More people call. He said, guys, we all have cell phones now, and cell phones don't care if you're calling down the block or around the country. 800 numbers are obsolete.
Well, not our listeners. Some of our listeners don't even have a they have the internet where it counts your minutes.
Right. As to the game in Dallas, too much hype. The game that needs to be hyped is Patriots versus Steelers in Week 13. That is the game of the year. Even if Pats lose on other weeks, no other team can match the Patriots in pure dedication to football.
This is utterly ridiculous. The game of the year is Patriots at Colts, November 4th. There's nothing else that's going to beat that.
Right.
What do you mean commitment to football? You don't think the Colts are committed to football the way they're running their team?
Right.
That is the game of the year. Both teams will be undefeated most likely, so get your popcorn ready for that one.
By the way, you hear Polian's complaining again about some rule that he wants to get changed?
No.
Oh, yeah, he's ridiculous. It's on profootball.com, you know.
What rule is it?
I don't know. He's complaining about quarterback hits, that, you know, Manning was killed in a game and they didn't call anything that game.
Oh.
And none of the games, you know, it's like he's just unbelievable. Just shut up.
It'll probably get changed, though.
You know, I just can't wait to beat them this year. I just can't wait. If not during the regular season, in the postseason.
But what happens if the Patriots lose? You're going to be heartbroken.
In the regular season? Not so much as if they lose in the postseason again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I can take that loss.
Okay.
I just want to go further than them in the postseason.
All right.
At this point, also says Ken, anyone else wishing we would have taken Marion Barber instead of Maroney? I've got Lawrence on my fantasy team, and it's killed me. Right now, you have to take one of them.
I've said this before. I'll take Barber.
He can't even start in Dallas.
Well, that's not his fault.
No?
Yeah, he should be playing in Dallas. I think Barber's a great football player. I really do. I think he's great at the goal line. I think he's a great receiver out of the backfield. He runs hard.
No, he runs very hard.
I mean, hey, listen, like Paul said, maybe his running style, maybe he only lasts 3 or 4 years in the league, and that's why they're trying to curb his carries. I say, who cares? In 3 or 4 years, I'll get me another running back. Just run the guy. He's better. I've seen more out of him. I think Maroney, and this was the case in Minnesota, has more potential. But so far, I've seen more out of Barber. So if you're asking me who I would pick right now, it would be Barber.
All right. And speaking of who you're going to pick, our favorite caller is on the phone right now, Craig from South Carolina. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Getting ready for this big showdown and the hoedown.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't think it's going to be all that it's been whipped up to be. I just don't see Dallas's defense being able to, you know, to stop Belichick and Brady, and you know, with the talent level that we've got in all the different positions. And I don't think Dallas has faced a defense like ours. I think they're going to have some success. One thing that people haven't really touched on a whole lot is that, you know, we're one of the least penalized teams in the league, and Dallas is one of the most penalized teams in the league. And I think that can't help but come into play at some point.
That is a good point. Patriots have had a good year so far in terms of avoiding penalties. You know, they've had a few. Harrison had that dumb one last week, and you know, they had a couple false starts and an offside that I can recall. But you know, for the most part,
going over them one by one.
Well, for the most part, they've been relatively penalty free. I think in one game they had none.
Yeah, they're only averaging like four or five penalties a game.
Yeah. So good point by Craig. What else, Craig?
Well, the only other thing is that you know, everybody's talking about, you know, Dallas's pass defense isn't really that good, and you know, the numbers bear that out. It's somewhat of an enigma, though. They've got, you know, when you look at the quarterback ratings of the teams that Dallas's defense has played against, it's actually one of the lowest in the league, 64.8.
Now, that's, Craig, that's where I'll say look at who they played. Because,
right, exactly.
Like, I don't think your record necessarily who you played, because you have to beat who you play, but that's one of those things I'd say. They played Rex Grossman. They played an injured Bulger. They played Trent Edwards making his second start of his career. Trust me, their pass defense is weak, and it'll be exploited on Sunday.
Well, you were actually helping to make my point, because, you know, that number in itself, you know, even if you're looking at their opponents, you'd think they'd be one of the best, you know, pass rated as one of the best pass defenses, but they're actually 12th in the league.
Right.
So basically, I think Dallas is toast. And Fred, man, I forgive you. I still love you. can't believe what I heard.
Well.
And I've got a little something for Gary here, fellas.
All
I know
right.
He's not there today, but just for Gary.
I always wanted to do that.
Wow, Mini Gary on the ball in there for the first time in an hour. Good job.
I got a feeling that Craig was beaten to the punch.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was Craig, South Carolina. Brad from St. John, New Brunswick says, I would definitely consider calling if you guys had a 1-800 number.
See, because we have a lot of people from outside the country.
Right.
That's
from
the
Canada.
Thing.
His prediction is 42-20 Patriots. Wow. Think if the Patriots put up 42 points. So much for that Dallas mystique.
What mystique? They haven't won a playoff game in 10 years.
Let's see. Alex says there's no reason for an 800 number. A true Patriots fan should call regardless if it's free or not. Nowadays, people have free long distance through cell or house numbers. People are at work during the time of the show, like myself. Screw it. Call from work. Charge them just for being a Pats fan.
Have Why don't they Skype?
I mean, a Giants fan. Have a good day. I enjoy the show. Don't blow me up, though. You know, I would rather have, though, someone save their money, use a one, and use the money to buy us lunch.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so if it means more lunches, let's get a 1-800 number in here. You know, because then you don't have to spend money on that.
And we'll just charge that to the Patriots.
Yep. Let's see. Brian is from Aspen, Colorado. He says, Tom's evaluation of Andre Hall was used in a post by one of the writers at footballguys.com yesterday. Have you seen footballguys.com?
But, yeah, I know what that is. But who is it? The.
Well, you said you did an evaluation of Andre Hall.
The running back?
I don't know.
From South Florida?
I guess. Oh, back in, he must have taken it from April.
2 years ago he came out.
Oh, geez.
And he's never been anything in the league.
Well, somebody took your evaluation and put it on, we're going to have to check this out, footballguys.com.
It's a fantasy website.
Oh, okay. So what do you see in the guy? It seems that Tom's player evaluations get more recognition outside the hallowed halls of PFW.
Well, why? The only thing I'm wondering is why are we talking about him?
I don't know.
Like, I liked him coming out of college. I thought he was a tough little runner. He reminded me a little bit of a Emmitt Smith kind of guy. He was tough. He didn't have great speed, but was elusive. But he was drafted, I think, in the seventh round or wasn't drafted
still
at all.
Still in the league?
He is somewhere. He was roaming around, but
maybe someone's thinking of putting him on his fantasy.
I don't know. Maybe someone who needs a running, maybe a team that needs a running back just picked him up, and they perhaps that's why he's being talked about. I don't know why he's being discussed is what I'm saying.
Okay.
If I did know why, I would
we'll find out.
I would know more about
Brian it. Brian also says he's leaving for Dallas in a few hours. Texas Stadium should be electric on Sunday. I fully expect the parking lot scene to be more bizarre than that of a 1970s Grateful Dead show.
Well,
now, do they do a lot of tailgating in Dallas?
Well, I was going to say it'll be electric because it's a big game. But they're front-running fans. So if the Patriots go up 10-0, 14-0, you won't hear a peep. It's not like when we were in Indianapolis, I'm telling you right now, Peyton Manning won that game, but that crowd helped. Because it was 21-3, and the Patriots were at the 50-yard line going in again. Colvin got a – Mathis, I think, got a sack, or Freeney. And the crowd went nuts. And I said to Andy, I said – so what? It's 21-3, and you know, but they just kept it up all game long.
Yeah,
you won't get that in Dallas. You go up quick; those guys will be heading for the exits.
But what about the parking lots? Do they tailgate in Dallas? I forget.
Yeah, they barbecue.
So they have a lot of parking right outside Irving Stadium.
It's kind of like here, Fred. They're more interested in eating and drinking than they are rooting. You know, once you get inside,
okay.
It's more of that type of crowd.
But I always thought Texas was big football.
They are, but they're front runners, Fred. That like if the Cowboys win this game, they'll be on board. See, they're still a little nervous. They're putting one toe in the water because they know they could lose this game. You have to be good. If you're good, they'll love you in Dallas.
Now you've never been to a Cowboys game in Dallas.
Not in Dallas.
Do you know the little thing that they do every time they break the huddle? They have this little music that they play in the stadiums. Da 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 da, and then they get to the line.
Oh, really?
It's like really annoying, and I don't know why
it sounds
they do
annoying.
It. I don't know why they do it.
They should just go back to standing up on the offensive line. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I'll key you into that.
I'm pretty sure I'll figure it out.
Let's see. William in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, says he was on ESPN.com earlier, and they had an NFL team ranking chart. As I was ranking the teams, it became extremely clear of how elite four or five teams truly are. The league is a wide-open race for the most part. It would be great for the NFL if the Colts were in the NFC and the Patriots stayed in the AFC. What a Super Bowl hype that would create. Romo-Brady matchup, maybe the duel in Dallas, but what about the duel in the desert? Okay, that is not reality, but it would be great. Can the NFC bring anything to the table? Does anyone besides me believe Romo was overrated? I believe Dallas' schedule will take care of itself, and the hype for this game is nothing compared to the week prior to November 4th.
Right. And the thing I would say is I don't think the league is wide open. That's my argument. He made my argument for me. I think there's only like three teams that can win the Super Bowl. To me, a wide open league is when six, seven, eight teams are in the mix. I don't see that. What's with the Romo is overrated? Is it because he's just on TV all the time? Like, he's a good quarterback. Trust me, I've seen Cowboy quarterbacks throughout the years. I think here's the problem with Romo. People are calling him overrated because now he's on ESPN commercials. You can't get him off SportsCenter.
And they've got the number one offense
in
the league
now.
And
here's the thing, though. Albert Breer told me that he's such a nice guy because he's not known to be the superstar. He was an undrafted – you know what I mean? Albert Breer said he's as much a regular guy as any football player he's ever seen. So you can actually go up to Romo on a Tuesday and ask him a question, and he just answers it because he's not used to being a superstar.
Right, that'll change.
But I'm saying, Fred, is I think that's why you see him all the time because he's always giving interviews.
Dvorkin's back. Nah.
But I just – hey, I think he's played 15 games. Okay, through 15 games, I think he's been a pretty good quarterback. I think we still need to see him go through this season. But if he leads the team to the playoffs for the second year in a row and wins a division title, to me, that's a pretty good quarterback, especially when you look at what Dallas has had in the past.
Let's see. Brian says about Andre Hall. He said he is behind Henry in Dallas, and the speculation is that he could move into the 1-1A slot with Selvin Young if Henry is thrown out for failing the drug test.
Oh, Denver.
Denver, he means.
I was going to say, is he on the Broncos or something? Because
yeah.
I was – okay, yes. If he gets in Denver, this guy's going to be a stud. Put it in the books. Andre Hall, get him now.
Okay.
I was going to ask the question, is he in Denver? Perfect for Denver. I think I actually might have written that in my draft report, that he'd be a perfect
– oh, there you go.
Watch out, baby. Andre Hall.
Now there's some foresight there.
Yeah, and you'll never hear the end of it from me.
Oh, boy. That's bigger than Oliver Hoyt.
Oh, yeah.
And Darnell Bing.
I had Andre Hall. He was one of my guys.
Clint is in Omaha. He says, hey, Jagoffs, thank God it's Felger Friday. Ding, ding, let the fighting begin. Just one comment. I don't know what the final score will be Sunday, but if the O-line keeps Brady as clean as they have in the past five games, it will be a long day for Roy Williams. This might be the end of his career as a starting safety. He will be exposed by Stallworth, Moss, and Watson's speed. Also, Welker will have him as jumbled and confused as Emmett's analysis of the game. Wow. Later, P.S. bring back Danny the Brawler Bogger.
Well, I do think Williams will get exposed. And here's the only thing I'll say is that I think Dallas will attempt to pressure the Patriots off the edges and in the secondary. Now, does that work? I don't know. They don't have Anthony Henry. They have Jacques Reeves at corner.
Where you have, well, Falk's healthy. You know, he curls out a little bit, does that chip block, and Brady just throws it right over to Marcus Ware's head into Falk's hands.
Falk's going to have a big game in this game.
Yeah.
Falk will be a key part of this game.
Yep. All right, let's take a little break. We'll be right back.
Call or email PFW in progress. Your input is always welcome.
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
Patriots.com radio.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drives it for him, and a goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and there is it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your kicks.
And get the Revolution.
Revolution.
This is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot Specialty License Plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Yeah, let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Andy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here now. Andy and Paul has shown up from an extended lunch. How you doing? Oh, they're still.
I'm extending my lunch.
Extended lunch.
They're still wiring up here. What's going on, guys? Any new news for us?
Despite erroneous reports from the public relations department, PUP players are able to come off PUP.
Did you talk to Casey about that?
No, he was talking to somebody.
We went up to his office to do it, and then he wasn't there. He was out at practice, and then we saw him when he came back, and he was in the middle of a conversation, so we just wanted to come down here.
So why don't you, Phil, but why are we mentioning this?
Well, because after this game, players...
No, I know, but the whole...
Because Tom wrote it the right way. A member of the PR department emailed him saying it was wrong and that it was an extra week.
An ASPFW?
Yes, an
okay.
ASPFW.
So an ASPFW, the question was, let's get it right, Andy.
I don't know what the question was. What was the question, Tom?
Be a journalist. We want the whole
story. When can Troy Brown be activated off PUP? And I believe I did the same thing you did, Paul, the Monday after the Cowboy game, which is actually the Tuesday after the Cowboy game is the correct day. And
that's when all NFL games are over.
Yeah. And then I got an email saying that that's not correct. It's actually the Monday after the Dolphins
game.
And
you got that email from the Patriots PR staff.
Yes, and I changed it on ASPFW, which was obviously incorrect, and we have to turn it back to it's the Tuesday after the Cowboys game.
Okay. And that's not just Troy Brown.
That's
also
all
Richard
PUP
Seymour
players.
Or anyone else in PUP,
yes.
Chad Jackson,
mm-hmm.
Anyone that they want to. Now, they don't have to activate them. They can still remain on PUP for three more weeks, right?
They have 3 weeks to decide to activate them to practice, just to practice. Then from whenever they activate them to practice, they have a 21-day window to choose whether or not to activate them, put them on IR.
So we're just talking about practice.
It could go as far as week 12.
Okay.
You're talking about a potential another 6 weeks.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. The phones have been active today. And
regulars or any new college?
No regulars. And
it's regulars. That's what he meant to say.
I ask him a direct question, get a direct answer, and I don't know what that means. No, regulars.
And the consensus is that if we had a 1-800 number, more people would call.
Can we get one?
You know, now Paul is a radio expert, and I'll ask him. Some other emailers have told us that, no, 1-800 numbers are obsolete. You don't need them anymore. People have cell phones. It doesn't matter. You don't need – but other people say, no, 800 numbers do, you know, still have a use.
That 800 number, I forgot it. I'm sorry.
I don't know why an 800 number wouldn't have a use.
Because they're saying with cell phones, it's unlimited.
But we have a lot of people who listen out of the country.
Right.
Which I think would help us.
Also, I think there's a lot of people that listen while they're at work and maybe aren't willing to just jump on a phone and make a long-distance call.
Okay.
Or might even have to, like, punch in a code or something to dial long-distance.
Right, whereas
some
if
places,
you dial an 800 number, you know,
you can do it.
But if somebody wrote in, just do it and charge it to whoever you work for.
Like the U.S. government. Thanks, Lucky.
And we've been having a lot of trouble.
Oh, my God. This has been an abomination, Andy.
So you appreciate Gary a little more now?
This mini Gary is terrible. Someone called, and they hung up, and he left the phone on, and it started going beep, 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 beep.
Well, I'll tell you.
I mean, he's playing like opens in the middle of Fred talking. It's just been awful.
Every time I turn around, there's some hand signal going on.
He's giving Fred hand signals like he's giving him the bunt sign from third base.
It's not the first time.
Guys, I'm here now.
It's not the first time.
Yeah, that makes us feel better.
The doctor has dragged the show down into a morass.
Says the morale behind the glass.
Oh, okay.
And for the record, we may or may not even be up because Chris Ferreira's on the phone with somebody right now. He wanted me to click
another
on
idiot.
Stream live, and it wouldn't come up on my computer. And I don't
you know, Fred, for all these tech geeks you got, they're not that smart.
I agree.
Don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with Dave.
Well, usually
all
when
day.
We go down, we immediately get an email saying you idiots are offline, but I haven't gotten one yet. So
I just
there's
read one
wrong,
on there.
Wrong with live streaming.
There's one there, Fred, that says I'm having a problem with live streaming. What's going on?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
we're aware of the issue, and Chris Ferreira is trying to fix it.
Okay. Well,
the operative word being trying.
There's always the download.
Is he all like shaken and?
Yeah, you know him. Gets a little worked up on occasion.
All right.
He's trying to decide who to start for fantasy football.
He does not handle stress well.
It's all right. He does a good job. Let me tell you something.
According to him, he doesn't do anything.
Chris Ferreira?
Yeah, every time we mention something to him, he blames somebody else.
That's Jana. That's Fred. That's somebody.
That's
not
my problem.
Passes the buck better than anyone.
All right. Let's see. Andy in Vermont says, Fred is nuts. The closer we get to this game, the better I feel about the Patriots. I know Dallas is a good squad, but I really think this is the kind of game, with both teams being 5-0, the Patriots want to go out and win, and this Patriots team seems to relish playing on the road. It seems like they play a little sharper on the road. Can't make a prediction, but the Patriots will play well and should beat the Cowboys down like a pimp with a coat hanger.
I agree. The closer we get, the more I feel like that, between Bill saying that Wade Phillips is predictable and then Bill giving us a giddy, hey, guys, or whatever he said in the hallway. They're feeling good around here.
Hey, man.
I don't think that makes a difference in the game.
Obviously it doesn't, but I'm going with it.
I think what makes a difference in the game is that the Patriots have more talent, and through four quarters, even if the Cowboys stick with them for a half, it'll show up at some point.
All right.
I don't think him saying hi to Andy is going to affect
He's never done it before.
Well, hey, I'll tell you what, if they lose, he's never going to do it again.
You guys were in the locker room. I talked to Tom. Who'd you talk to today, and what's your sense of the mood?
We talked to you. We were standing in the middle of the room with you doing nothing.
Oh, so when I left, you didn't do anything? I was only there for 5 seconds.
We usually observe on Fridays.
Friday, we try to gauge the mood.
Observing?
I did talk to Rodney Harrison.
I call it slacking.
I did talk to Rodney Harrison for a little while.
Yeah.
Just because he's my favorite guy, and I like to go over and talk to him. But
is he mad at you?
No, not at all. Why?
Because you kind of let him down, kind of abandoned him in his time of need?
No, actually, it was the opposite. He kind of let me down.
Really?
But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Paul's gone through cancer with him, and as Susan Walden would say.
Right. Well, Paul.
In life, all good things come to an end.
Paul, he can't slam Rodney. You know, he's been through a lot with him. So.
I have. No, he talked about feeling a lot better than he thought he was going to last game. in the Cleveland game. He thought that he would be there would be a little bit more rust to knock off. He felt physically, he felt pretty good. You know, a lot of the stuff that you would expect, he said, you know, it's just hard because no matter how much work you do, you can't simulate that tempo. And there's no way to prepare for getting, you know, a read on how quick Kellen Winslow is going to be coming across the middle and you're trying to cover him and stuff. But, you know, he talked about this game coming up and he asked me, you know, what I thought. And I don't, you know, it was like almost like he was listening to the show and he thought that I was you, Fred, because it was like he thought that I was picking against him. I was like, I think you guys are going to win. Why? And he goes, well, you know, what do you, you know, what are other people saying? And I said, well, I think it's a big game. I think people are treating it like it's a big game, but I think that's actually working against Dallas from the stuff that we talked about yesterday. I thought they were putting too much into it. He goes, yeah. He goes, they're taking this one big, huh? He goes, yeah, it's just a game. You know, it's just regular season games, same as all the rest of them. And I said, yeah, what happens if you take it a little bit more seriously and then you lose? Then what do you do? He goes, well, yeah, if you lose, but even if you win, then, you know, you won the big game. What about the next one? Is that not as big? Right. I mean, you know, you're going to have a letdown either way, so it doesn't make any sense. But, you know, Rodney was funny about it. You know,
Paul, I really don't need you feeding the fire. Now I'm going to have Harrison in there in practice going, the Cowboys are calling this the game of their lives. I got it from Paul Perillo. this is the game of the century, and we beat them.
Did you happen to see any of Wade Phillips' comments to about Bill Belichick? They don't need anything from Dallas on this one. The coach is doing it all on his own.
You mean the ones that I think were totally taken out of context and had nothing to do with Spygate? I think him saying we don't go fishing, but I didn't say we don't go to the movies. I think that was in no way a reference to Spygate.
I agree with that, but there was other ones that I thought were, you know, I just think it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the ones he's now denying he ever said.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I just read the stuff in the paper.
I didn't read
the
story, but I saw the headline saying Phillips denies taint talk or something.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I was talking about was the stuff that he said.
Their accomplishments are tainted or whatever he said.
Well, now he's saying he didn't say it.
And I'm not blaming him for having those thoughts. I just can't believe he would make those public the week that they're playing the Patriots. Right. That's all.
Well, you know, even with Rodney, you know that he's saying publicly, yeah, it's just another game. But you know in private, they're like, these guys think they're going to remain under,
right.
You know.
Of course they treat, especially on the road, Fred. You know, yeah. I think Andy just said it on the emailer. You know, they seem to be a little bit sharper on the road. I agree with that. I think the so-called flat performances, think about it, almost all of them are at home against inferior opponents.
Yeah.
When they go on the road, they take care of business.
Yep. Let's see. Bob writes in, could you clarify this for me? When Romo spiked the ball with 1 second left to go in the game, the previous play where T.O. dropped the ball was reviewed. A Dallas radio pundit said that the play would have been reviewed even if the play clock went to zero, while I heard Wade Phillips say in a press conference that if the clock had reached zero, then the play would not have been reviewed, as the game would have ended and thus no review would have been possible. Which one was right?
Well, Mike Pereira said, and we saw the other day, said that if it did reach zero, it wouldn't have been reviewed, right? That
no.
they have to hit the button
no.
in that time?
He said that they didn't want to hit the button prematurely because they didn't want to give Dallas a free chance to spike the ball if in fact, they didn't deserve that.
Right.
So they wanted to wait as long as they could before they made the final determination of whether or not the play should be reviewed. I think that, you know, I think the play would have been reviewed even if they had gone to zero. If they go back and look at a play and say, hey, this was an incomplete pass.
But does a spike constitute a play?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So once he spiked it, you can't review it anymore.
Yeah, that's why that's why it was important that they get the buzzer before that spike.
Right.
And, you know, that's what Pereira was talking about that Tom and I heard yesterday.
It was handled beautifully.
Oh, yeah. Of course, you know, I know this is going to come as a shock to you, Fred, but
everything
it was
handled. Right.
It was, you know, a split second, a decision that had to be made in 16 seconds was handled absolutely flawlessly by the NFL officials who have still yet to make their first mistake ever.
Good.
Since 1994 when Vinny Testaverde was 27 yards out of the end zone and awarded a touchdown. That was the last time they admitted they made a mistake.
Did you see the NFL inside with you know, Bob Costas?
Inside the NFL. Seriously, Fred,
you
I really worry about
speak.
You. At some point, you turned into my grandfather, and I'm very, very concerned.
They had a nice piece about the whole replay thing, the officials up in the booth, about how as soon as a play happens that even might be challenged, even before they start reviewing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this really nice system with a screen that they pick the different shots, you know, when it's all touch screen. and they'll have like seven different angles, and they'll go, okay, we'll use this one, this one, this one.
Is that the gray box I just passed in the hallway
it
that said
be.
Next Generation Replay or something?
It might be. And, you know, they pick the plays that they're then going to show the official if it gets challenged. It's pretty cool. But truly, you know, we talked about in the past, have the options that they have to choose from change. No, they still say that only what the people see at home is what they have to choose from. They don't have any other shots or angles that we don't see that they
right.
do.
Well, they only have the shots that the TV crews have.
Have.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
That
but
doesn't
that's
mean
not,
that they all show yeah, us.
Right.
That.
That's
right.
what I wanted to make They can pick that. From
but,
all the cameras that CBS is pointing.
Why would they not show
well,
us?
Well, then you say
shot.
There was a play last week that the
– They didn't get to it until after.
Right,
but the public never saw that.
But
one.
The booth has it; they can point, touch their little touchscreen,
no,
and pick that camera.
But I think in that one, even the refs didn't get to see it till after. They didn't get
well, that's a problem,
for some
then.
Reason. They didn't have that queued up.
I agree with Andy there.
That's a problem.
That's
yeah.
another example of maybe it's not quite as flawless an operation as they claim it is.
Oh, it's not.
Although
flawless.
It's a step up from the TiVo in college, with a guy going, "Oh, my button's sticking like mine." Oh crap!
I love that method. It's Tom Casale up in a booth with a sitting there chewing tobacco.
I
with
do
a
too,
control.
And you know what? In all the college games that I watch, I don't see the amount of plays that I think are in question that I do in the NFL.
And they
level.
Do it quick.
Well, I saw a really slow one the other day. I used to think they did it quick, and the other day there was one.
There was a game recently with a
Saturday.
Had a bad crew.
It was, but you know what? I think they got caught with is they screwed. It was one where they decided it to overturn it. And then they were having trouble figuring out where the line of scrimmage
yeah.
was and what the situation yeah. was. I think that's why it took so long.
The thing I'll say about college, when it's clear cut, like the where you, everyone looks at it and says, oh, that's a catch.
It takes 13 seconds.
Yeah,
right.
it's a catch. That's,
right.
They do that.
The problem I think that they have in college, and my only issue with it, is there's such a disparity in facilities at
right.
the college level. You know, even, and I'm not just talking about like the smaller time schools, even there's a big difference in some of the BCS conference facilities. You know, you go to the ACC and some of those places like Wake Forest or Virginia, they don't have anywhere near the facility that an Ohio State or
right.
a Michigan has. And to me, there's problems with that in terms of what you can do and with replay and the technology that you have.
Okay, let's see. Doug writes in. He says he's on a military base in the Middle East, and I'm a longtime listener, first-time emailer. Thank you for doing what you do.
Well, thank you for doing what you do.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because your job's a lot harder.
I'm talking to Doug. No, that's
oh,
me talking to Doug.
I thought Doug was
No, that's me talking to him. He says, I don't
Fred
know.
Confusing us again.
I don't know where you're.
No, the regulars.
I don't know what you're talking about right now because I only get the podcast, but I wanted to know what you think of some things. First, I briefly saw something flash across the screen on ESPN as I was walking out of the dining facility about the Patriots' offense versus the Patriots' defense. In an all-or-nothing showdown, who wins the day if they play each other? Of course, we're also stipulating that they don't know each other's plays. I say
Why?
That Brady picks apart
Why?
The secondary.
The other teams.
What do you think?
I think Brady picks apart the secondary.
I think this, for the first time, maybe, I'd say the offense has a clear
yeah.
advantage.
Yeah. Also, Doc Z at SI.com has the Patriots at number 2 in his power rankings after the Colts. His argument is that the Colts are getting it done without all the power players on the field, and the Patriots are only slightly killing teams, not completely pummeling them.
Slightly killing?
That's stupid.
This seems like the Pats have become the Colts and vice versa. You guys were talking about how the Patriots and the Colts might be switching roles. Do you see this sort of thing continuing the rest of the season, and does it give the Colts the underdog advantage in the playoffs?
I don't know. I mean, they've been pretty successful against the Patriots in recent years, and if they beat them again this year, I don't.
But, you know, the Patriots didn't have their number one receiver go out in their running back for a game, although they did. Maroney's out. what I mean to say is that
they didn't lose a receiver. Everything else they
no,
did.
But Maroney isn't.
Lost the safety.
I'll admit that Maroney isn't to the
Everything's been the exact same.
Maroney isn't to the Patriots what Adai is to the Colts.
Well, yeah, they really missed him when Kenton Keith had 130
right.
yards rushing.
Adai isn't what people think Adai is to the Colts.
See, what I think actually.
Running back is what is to the Colts.
They haven't had Seymour. They haven't had Harrison. You know, they haven't had a lot of guys in this team. It's not like they haven't had guys out or injured.
See, what I think would be the more accurate statement than the Patriots are becoming the Colts is I think the Colts are taking on a lot of the traits of the Patriots. I think they're now starting to have guys that fill in and you don't see a noticeable drop-off. That doesn't mean that Anthony Gonzalez can go out there and do what Marvin Harrison could do. We know that's not true. But like Tom said, Kenton Keith comes in. Who's Kenton Keith? That's the equivalent of Mark Edwards a couple years ago, stepping in and doing stuff. And all these guys that you never heard of, Fred Coleman making catches. Just
Robbie Abdullah.
Whoever the guy is that the Patriots plug in generally gets the job done. Well, the Colts are starting to see that. They did it a little bit last year when they started plugging in guys like Rob Morris, even though we know who that is because we played the Colts so many times. The guy wasn't playing. He was a backup. They put him in there, and all of a sudden their defense not only doesn't miss a beat, it gets better. So I think the Colts are taking on some of the traits of the Patriots more so than the other way around.
Okay. That's fair.
But still, the Patriots have to be one in anyone's power pool right now. They've killed everybody.
Well, they sort of. Is that what the word was? Sort of.
They've sort of killed people instead of pummeling people. Them. Well, I don't know what pummeling is then.
Judge, I sort of killed her.
just off topic, what time is the Red Sox game on Saturday?
8:21, I want to say.
Oh, okay. So it's not. All right.
We might be able to go out and eat and come back so Paul can watch it alone in his room.
As long as we can watch it somewhere comfortably, I have no problem.
What happened to the Buffalo Wild Wings place? We don't even all over the place.
We can look to see if there's
I'll
one
I'll go
of those.
There.
Fred said there's one right there.
There's one in Irving.
I'll go there.
So we'll go there.
Okay.
Because that way you can watch football, you can watch baseball.
Right.
But Paul, I did side with you. Big game, I'm home. You're not getting me in a sports bar watching some kind of
I'm a little
of
concerned.
Losers of a feather flock together.
If it's a big sporting event, I don't need beer. I don't need food. I have the sporting event. I want to watch it. I don't want some drunk guy yelling out, every
Paul,
2 seconds.
Paul, you hosted a playoff party at your house when you were living in
It wasn't
Everett.
The Patriots.
I know, but, you know.
So I didn't really care about every single play of the game.
It was a big sporting event.
You used to have parties?
I wore my Elway jersey.
I've had three parties.
Yeah.
I wore
parts.
My Elway jersey.
I mean, since, you know, with inviting everybody from the organization, Tom, I've had more than three parties in my career. Matter of fact, my parents would be laughing at you right now. They caught me.
Blue, you're
time.
My boy!
I wore my Elway jersey.
He did.
Paul's as old as Blue.
Fred had his, there he is dragging the show into a morass again.
But when you call him on, yeah, I didn't say that was
no,
Fred.
I didn't say that. It was Fred. Like little
that
rats jumping off the ship.
We have the email.
I can have it read back to you if you want.
That's fine.
See?
That's fine. We talk about going down with the ship.
That's fine.
But
Fred's watching TV.
I was going
to
say,
sorry
since,
to bother you,
since,
Paul.
Since Fred has decided he's not participating anymore, Tom, I knew that you'd understand because I remember the game that the Cowboys played on a Sunday night, I want to say in Carolina recently, maybe last year. You didn't go out with us, and you wanted to stay in and watch the game. And the
oh yeah, my TV didn't work. Remember, and it was all fuzzy, and I was screaming and swearing. No, I'm not big on sports bars. Like this Saturday, I don't mind going to it because it's just football. It's baseball.
You're just rooting against the Red
right,
Sox,
and you don't have a vested interest.
I love
if that was
ball.
Game
every
seven,
other week. All the weeks that we're on the road, I love going out, having the beers. I don't really care about every play of every game. But if I'm interested in the game, truly interested in the winner or loser, then...
You can't watch it. If that was game seven for the Yankees...
You can't follow it.
And they hit a home run in the ninth to win it, and some Yankee fan was going nuts, I'd probably end up biting him in the face or something. I don't need that crap. Just sit at home. Be in your own misery.
Tom, it's only sports.
See, I like it, but that's... See, I hate when people say that, because
it is.
But I don't look at it like that. I like sports. It's not only sports to me.
Life or death to you?
So is it
no.
only... I mean, when they celebrated, was it only sports? Why wasn't it just only sports? They're just having fun, Fred.
Oh, come on.
Oh, it's different then?
Don't
it's a business. You didn't win anything yet.
You're going to side with him on that?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
I'm siding with myself
and
on
then,
that and against you.
Listen.
I'm not really siding right. with Paul. I'm siding against you and the other idiots like Mark Capella.
Well, that just proves it because if there's anyone that would just, for pure spite, not side with me,
yeah,
it's Andy
I hate
Hart.
Paul.
Yeah, but Andy has to make sure that he has to leave the opportunity open in case the Red Sox have an opening. He doesn't want to have he doesn't want to have anything on record of him saying anything bad about the Red Sox because you never know where your next job's going to be.
All right, ding
That's
ding,
true.
It's time.
And they got nothing to fight about.
Why?
Fred's picking the Cowboys.
I'm a lover.
Fred
I'm
the
not
Cowboys.
A fighter.
Fred
picked
pick
the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Fred picked the Cowboys.
Did you pick the Cowboys, Fred?
I
did. That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, he doesn't believe it for a second, but he picked them.
That makes me feel
he's so full of crap.
Some sort of mind game he's
playing.
Or...
I disagree with you, but that's beautiful. That's fine. Yeah.
The world continues to flip.
I made the pick on Sunday night, by the way.
It'd be funny before, if they started arguing and why it started going. So Belichick's the end all of coaching now.
I know history has nothing to do with it, but they've never played well in Dallas. I really feel that there's enough talent on the Dallas defense.
He's got nothing,
that,
Felger.
You know, from the edges, they could put some pressure on Brady, force a couple of mistakes.
I see that.
I do think that the Dallas offense is pretty good. I think they're balanced enough that they could test the middle of the field with the linebackers that the Patriots have. You know, I'm adding up all these things. I think, and if the Patriots have an off game, they could lose the game.
So this is different the other day when you said, I just have a feeling.
Well, yeah. And, I was going to say, you never articulated this argument at all this week. What he's done is he's listened to us say stuff all week, and now he's using it.
You just gave more valid reasons why Dallas could win this game than you have all week.
But it's okay to have a feeling,
please,
too, Fred.
Please pull out the tape.
Gary's not here.
From Tuesday.
Yeah, okay? No one back there is capable of pulling out the tape.
Please pull out the tape.
That morass of negativity on the other side of the glass
is exactly
incapable.
What I said in Tuesday, but I also said, and I have a feeling. That's, you know.
That's kind
and
of
you
all
also
I
said
heard.
Yesterday. That's all I heard. You said, I have a feeling.
Then we moved on to the next topic. The way I see it, unless it's Indy and Indy, if you're going to predict the Patriots are going to lose any game this year, you better have a feeling because they're better than every team they're playing.
Then you should pick them to win every week.
Well, I picked them to be 14-2, so they're going to lose two games.
That was a long time ago.
Good job. You know, too many people do that, pick a record 12-4 and then don't pick four losses. I see it all the time.
Hey, douchebag, you picked the record before the year starts. I'm sorry, I didn't think the Patriots were going to be this good.
Right. Oh, so then you're...
So I'll change my record.
All right, well,
16-0.
All right, well, that's fine. Well, that's a different thing.
I was going to say, I mean, do I have to live with every prediction that I took?
You didn't think the Titans were going to be good?
That's what he does.
Every week?
All right, one at a time, boys.
And wait,
you're just learning that?
You can only take one shot at a time.
Didn't Fred finish his yesterday's show by saying, I really want to change to the Patriots, but I can't change now.
I can't change now.
Don't let them fool you, Felger.
Well, Tom, you don't even think they're going to win, huh?
No. That's the gauge right there. If I thought there was any chance they would win, I would be picking them.
Didn't you say if you thought it was even 25%?
Yeah,
chance? You're below 25%.
I'm below 25%.
You know what sort of cinched it for me was Wade Phillips and his big fat mouth.
Well, I mean, why?
Wade Phillips.
You could have just stopped at Wade Phillips. Yeah, that'd been good enough.
Well, no, but that sort of that just
I don't like how they're treating the game down there. That's, you know, more and more reason.
But now in Wade's defense, he treats every win like he just won the Super Bowl, like Monday night when he was running around with his arms up.
It's absurd.
I thought you were going to say, in Wade's defense, he is a moron.
But, I mean, what a clown. But, I mean, let's provoke
like Jonathan Papelbon.
Oh, God, Fred.
Unbelievable.
Paul doesn't like that when I make fun of the Red Sox.
Well, but when Papelbon wins a game, I mean.
Well, see, I think that's a lot more offensive.
Well, he's a player.
Right.
He's a player. There's a difference.
Right. But I think that, like, when he has a routine, you know, three-run save in the middle of July and he gives the fist pump for 25 minutes and hugs Veritek.
It's the reason I hate Bobby Jenks pounding on his chest after every save.
That, I think, is a little ridiculous. And I know Felge is going to definitely side with Fred on this one because, you know, Felge's definitely in the no-fun category. But
this is from the guy who won't stand up at a football game, and he's calling me no fun. All right, go ahead. Keep going.
What does that have to do with one? Totally unrelated.
Keep going.
Anyway, you know, Fred is really offended that the Red Sox had the audacity
to celebrate. I think it's ridiculous the way
the
they celebrated after.
It was ridiculous.
That went on way too long.
It's okay that Vince Wilfork and Ellis Hodge are still celebrating in San Diego, but that's okay.
Running around in spandex with swimming goggles and boxes on their head. And, you know, it's just...
Fred, it's not my style either, but if it caused them to lose games, if you said that this is a example of them losing their heads and not being focused and being immature, right, and then that translated to the field,
I don't think it. I just laughed.
Then I'd say okay. I mean,
they blew the Angels out of the water.
I just laughed my ass off when I was watching.
And by the way, after they did that, they had a conga line of high fives and kind of like went on to the next series. You know,
yeah.
I guess that was offensive too.
Yeah,
it's not my style. But I mean, Wade Phillips is definitely. I mean, that's just. It's October, Wade. What are you doing?
Yeah.
He looked awful in that game Monday night.
And it's absurd.
And he didn't. It looked like during the game he didn't even know where he was. He lost.
You
know,
he really looked like a deer in headlights. I've never really seen a guy that was the perfect description. His eyes were like bug-eyed. He didn't know what to do.
No one can convince me he's a good coach. You know, a very simple way to tell good coaches and bad coaches. Bad coaches only
the good ones win.
Well, and that's one obvious one.
Okay.
Next step down on the checklist.
How about second on the list is that. You know, certain head coaches like focus on only one side of the ball. Like Wade Phillips has the defense, and then Garrett and Soprano has like the offense. Yeah. Like Pete Carroll did here, Ernie Zampezi just carried the offense.
Right.
Well, I mean, that tells you right there, if you don't have command of the whole situation, both sides of the ball, both sides of the field, the the whole program, then what are you? I mean, Bill Belichick is involved in offense as anyone.
Yeah, I think that's there's some truth to that.
You know what about Billick? You know another thing too is when a coach is like acts like he's surprised to win. Can you imagine if the Patriots won the game against Buffalo the way Dallas did? Could you imagine Bill Belichick being happy over that performance?
Right.
You just stunk it up on national TV. You got lucky to get a win, and you're running around like T.O. with your arms up in the air as the coach?
It's absurd.
All right.
Weber. That's the biggest mismatch in the game right there
sideline. Right, and so then he provokes Belichick with the making snide comments about the videotaping thing. It's just
I heard he
but he's now
he's saying he didn't say those.
Too late.
Yeah. Right. That's the issue. Late. The players and Belichick hears what he wants to hear.
They got it.
Where did that come from, though?
He said one thing in his press briefing in Dallas, and that's actually on tape. You can see it.
Are you talking about the fishing movie?
Yeah.
I don't think that has anything to do with Spygate. I think it was a joke that is now being connected to a videotape scandal. I think he was just making a joke about, we're not so close we go fishing, but I didn't say we didn't go to the movies.
Well, yeah, but
I think it was just
a
joke.
Then people laugh.
Because it's a joke. Either way, it's a joke.
Yeah, but I think it's a joke.
Why not fishing but movies?
I don't know. Maybe people in Texas
always
take fishing
stupid,
more seriously.
He's always saying stupid things.
I agree with Andy on this
it's
one because
a joke.
When I read the quote and then I read the rest of the story
it's on the Dallas Cowboys website. You can look at it, and he's sort of, I think, in conjunction with what Peter King said on HBO last night or two nights ago.
It's kind of hard to back off from what he said to Peter King.
Where Peter King says,
he didn't say it.
I was talking to Wade Phillips, and he said X, Y, and Z. So it's obviously on his mind. So I put those two things together. And I also did some stupid podcast this week on ESPN with the play-by-play guy of the Dallas Cowboys. And he said the same thing in sort of the same manner. So I just get the sense
you can't hold the play-by-play guy. That's like Fred saying something.
I'm putting it all together. Yeah. It's sort of like an organizational feeling, or maybe they're all being snide about it this week. I don't know. I've seen the Patriots use less. I'll put that,
That's true.
No doubt.
100%.
There's no doubt it doesn't matter how it was meant. We know how it's going to be used and taken, so it's all over. They're going to put 50 up.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't know if you heard the clincher, but Andy and I, a couple hours ago, were walking down the corridor, in the concourse. Bill was coming the other way. He said hi.
No.
And had a little smirk on his face. Like
smiled
happy.
And said, hey, man.
He was giddy.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, man.
To you two.
What that means?
They're putting 50
They're going to kill him.
Oh,
minimum.
My goodness. Goodbye.
I think that means I'm on
minimum.
The outs.
Absolutely.
He's in a good mood.
Still never
he
said my name.
He is in a really good mood.
So wait a minute.
How long are we
I
going
asked
here?
Him about 9 questions this week. He didn't
oh,
say
by the way,
once.
You missed the press conference this week.
Cowboys specific. In the first play of the first game of the first.
Tom averages less than a question a month at press conferences. Oh. He asked no fewer than 6 this week.
Bert
and he missed
Breer.
A day. He wasn't even here on Wednesday.
Bert Breer-like.
The only thing missing was all the first names.
And Bill gave you nothing?
Weren't you quoting Wade Phillips' opening press conference? When Wade came to Dallas, he said he was going to move so-and-so around.
No, I asked him about Roy Williams, if he was closer to the line this year. He said yes.
And then he asked about DeMarcus Ware and whether they were switching him at the last second.
We were talking about it yesterday on the show. Does that make it harder to double-team him?
I didn't say any of the questions were dumb. It was just high volume for you. That's
not
all.
Very Tom-like.
Tom's.
Did you let some of the tattoos sneak out from under the arm?
I was waiting
to intimidate Bill.
I'm telling you, I was waiting for, back in 1992, when you guys had that team in New York and you went in there, obviously it was in Cleveland in 92, but whatever.
Why were you blitzing up 34-0?
See, he's got one ready.
That 1-15 team wasn't very good. You didn't have to blitz them like that.
By the way, just so you know, Joe Theismann, on the record saying, Patriots are better than those Cowboys. And
the 90s Cowboys.
Comparing T.O. and Randy Moss is like comparing
night and day.
Moss is way better.
I think, Tom, you don't think any of these Patriots teams were as good as those 90s Dallas?
Well, the only one in question is this one, in my opinion.
Yeah, this one.
Those teams we have to see what happens.
Right,
here.
You got to win.
Now, I'm not counting this team. The three teams that won the Super Bowl, and you know me, I'll be realistic. I don't think the Cowboys were as good as the Niners or the Steelers. They would kill those Patriot teams.
And
I don't think they'd kill them.
And Theismann wasn't talking about the other teams. He was talking about this current team.
Right. He was talking about this assembled group.
Better than the Niners.
Of course, he also said, you'd have to go back as far as my Redskins team in 83.
Whatever. The best one was the 83 Redskins team that lost to the Raiders 38-9 in the Super Bowl.
Thanks, Joe.
I mean, that Dallas team was a wagon. What you can say is that this run is a great greater accomplishment than the Dallas run because it's done in the salary cap. Yeah,
see,
I
don't,
think that's a fair statement.
Yeah,
I'm less and less buying into that.
We could have a two-hour show, Felger, and I would debate you on that. I don't think it's harder to do it in the salary cap.
I mean, right now there's more teams that are consistently winners than ever before.
So then this whole rap you gave me for 8 months last year about the salary cap constraints and Deion Branch and not spending money is just garbage?
Well, they still have the constraints.
So you're saying I'm right?
Here's why I say it's not harder.
So you're saying I was right?
We're talking about winning versus.
So last year I was right. No, we're talking about two different things.
You're always wrong.
You're saying it's
harder. Get it in your head. You are always wrong.
I go with that, Freddie. You're saying that it's harder to win in the salary cap. Whose choice was it to not have Deion Branch on the team? Was it because of the salary cap or because the Patriots didn't feel like he was worth it?
It was the Patriots' second choice. Yeah, they had the room.
If in 1976 you had a great team, but you just weren't quite as good as Pittsburgh, there was nothing you can do other than draft players to get better than Pittsburgh. And you look no further than Houston, Oakland, Miami. Those teams just could not get past Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh was stacked from top to bottom. There was nothing you can do.
A combination of...
I think it was harder to win then.
Really
than
good
it is,
drafting and then holding on to those guys.
You had to. The pressure of the draft was immense.
Yeah.
If you didn't hit with your draft picks, there was very little trading.
Right.
At least now there's some. Mm-hmm. Not a ton, admittedly, but you can trade for guys, you can get them in free agency, and you can draft. Whereas at that time, all you could really do was draft.
Then the other question I would ask is scouting harder now than it was then? Because the talent seems to be more spread out now. You kind of have to have bigger scouting departments.
Yeah, but
I think it's harder to scout.
I think the technology makes it easier.
Well, I don't know.
What do you mean by harder? In those days, you didn't have access to all.
I mean, back then, there were certain schools that you had to look at. There were certain schools.
But I think you could find a gem easier back then because there weren't 752 scouts at every single Division III football game.
Well, maybe it was easier. So what I'm saying is it harder now than it was then?
It's more competitive now, I think, because aside from the Bengals, who Paul read down the list of their scouts.
Oh, you missed that yesterday.
Most teams
have one scout.
What do you mean one scout?
They have one scout.
Says scout in the media.
They have one scout. You know, like the scout.
Not area
department?
Scout. Not regional scout. It says scout.
and they have two scouting consultants.
I know for a fact about 5 years ago at the end of the season, they'd give their coaches clipboards and say, go scout.
I'm guessing they still do because somebody's got to be doing some scouting.
See you later.
Wow.
And the coaches
or maybe not. That's
the
how
scouting.
They end up with
it. And they just use Blesto or whatever those.
Evidently.
Yeah.
What
They're
a joke.
So cheap.
That
what
is a joke.
A joke. Yep.
Well, getting back to that, though, the Cowboys went eight deep on the defensive line back in those days.
Oh, their
days.
Offensive
I'm talking
line was
eight
ridiculous
deep on
too.
Defensive yeah. line. And the Bills teams they beat in the Super Bowl
were good.
Those were better than any team that the Patriots beat in the Super Bowl. And they toyed with them. They toyed with them. I mean, every team they played in the playoffs, they toyed with. And I just think that's
I go
that's
back
the biggest...
and forth on those Bills teams all the time.
You don't have like a little... Bill doesn't think much of them.
Well, I know that he doesn't,
Jason,
but I also know why he doesn't.
Jason, you have a little boner sound effect for Casale over here when he starts talking about the 90s Cowboys?
No.
He's having enough trouble keeping us on the air right now.
If you want to talk about them versus the 49ers,
he's going to have a cerebral hemorrhage any minute.
I will tell you why the 49ers would beat them, but you're asking me about the Patriots, so...
Well, no team's as good as those 90s teams then. I mean, no, thank you. No salary cap era team is as good then. Because I take this Patriots
team. Well, maybe
team,
this one.
Well,
what
about
be?
This one?
If they roll through 19
yeah,
and
maybe, no. maybe. Okay, but it's taken us then, what, 13 years in the salary
well, it's
cap
hard
era?
To, it's hard to find, great.
I mean,
we're
name
talking
a team,
about the best of all time.
Name a champion that's been as good as those 90s Cowboys teams since the 90s Cowboys team. Were those Denver teams as good? I don't think so. The Packers weren't.
No.
The Buccaneers and Ravens, no.
No, they were one season wonders. Right, but you have to go back to the 85 Bears, and then you have to go to the 70 Steelers,
Yeah.
So but, I mean, I think this,
ignoring
this,
the,
this Patriots –
five titles of the Niners won?
No, the Niners are
– Oh, okay.
But the Patriots are, team is the closest thing, but you're just asking me if they played, who would I think would win? I just think the Cowboys were so stacked, and, they just had so much talent on that team. Jimmy Johnson could just draft like nobody.
See, you know what I mean?
I think what unbelievable.
We're seeing here is that – like if you're really good on one side of the ball, like the Buccaneers were, like the Ravens were, like the Colts were, you can succeed long term in this era. But when you do it like the Patriots have this year, you can have a chance to go undefeated because it's rare that on both sides of the
no
ball
there's no good teams
and you have yeah, a great, and you have
harder,
a great coach.
It's harder to stack
Fred's,
your team
Fred's
on both
right.
sides of the ball now.
Can I talk to some players, please?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Well, we're out of here. We'll, it's Friday, so we'll see you next Tuesday here in PFW in Progress.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drives it for him, and the goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your kicks.
And get the Revolution.
The New England Revolution.
Chuck, we ready?
Yes.
I don't hear them, but...
Okay, I just did. In 3, 2... In 3, 2... And welcome back to Patriots Friday. Mike Felger here live from Gillette Stadium on 890 ESPN. Let's get started with our player interviews. Ben Watson. Benjamin Watson, you still... big on that? You want Benjamin as opposed to Ben?
I like Benjamin.
Yeah?
I like Benjamin.
Okay. Benjamin Watson, Patriots tight end, joins us here at Gillette Stadium. Before we get started, the first thing I jot down some notes on things I want to talk to you about today. And the first thing I put down is...
This personally for me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Restraining order for Steve Burton. All right?
What?
Steve Burton, the man love Steve Burton, Channel 4, our good friend.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
The man love he shows for you... has gotten out of control. I do these post-game shows with him after the game.
Yeah.
And he wants to turn it into the Ben... It's the fifth quarter, Patriots' fifth quarter. It's supposed to be Belichick, Brady, the game that was just played.
Hello, it's supposed to be Belichick, Brady, and you're saying not myself?
And all he wants to talk about is Ben Watson. Ben Watson, Ben Watson, Ben Watson.
Now, was this last week or something? I didn't see
every
it.
Week. He gets a player on. Yeah. He'll get Sammy Morris on. What do you think of Benjamin Watson? He'll talk to Tom Brady at the podium. What do you think of Benjamin Watson?
Okay.
Do you ever feel that Burton's like a little too close? Like we need to get a restraining order against him?
No, what's wrong with that?
Because what happens is, okay, I'll just explain myself.
Yeah, explain yourself, please. I'm not following you, Mike. Okay. I don't feel you right now. Go ahead and put it out there.
Because
say what you got to say.
Okay, so what I got to say is that then I got to throw cold water on him. Where he is Benjamin Watson and Antonio Gates, Benjamin Watson, Tony Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to say that Benjamin Watson's doing tremendous, Steve, but we've got to hold on a little bit here. We've got to just cool our jets. So it sounds like I'm ripping you in the post game, but I'm not.
When people are like Michael Felger, Michael Smith, and you're like, hold on, man. He'd never be Michael Smith, that
exactly,
type of thing.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Exactly what it's like. But you got to feel pretty good about the numbers you've been putting up and what you've been doing here.
You know, I feel good. I mean, the main thing is, you know, we're winning games. I know it's cliche, but that's the truth. I mean, we're winning games, and that's the most important thing. You know, got a chance to catch a couple of balls. That's always fun. You know, that's what you go out there and play for. But the main thing is we're being successful as an offense and we're winning.
Benjamin, you've become a good fantasy player, and I know this isn't your concern, but do people come up to you and say, I got you my fantasy team. You're doing it for me. Do you hear that? Because that's a pretty big thing out there.
Yeah, sometimes. The weirdest fantasy story I have is when I tore my ACL my rookie year. And, you know, I had to go through surgery, painful surgery, long rehab. And somebody came up to me and was like, you ruined my fantasy team. How'd you get hurt? And I'm like, dog, how about how do you feel? You know what I'm saying? So I don't really know too much about the fantasy thing. The fantasy thing always kind of rubs me wrong. But, I've heard I've done well in fantasy, but I don't know. I don't even know how the thing scores points. Maybe one day when I get done, I'll probably pick it up because a lot of my friends do fantasy. But maybe one day, you know, I'll pay attention to it.
I think touchdowns. You know, touchdowns is a big thing in fantasy.
Yeah.
No, but, I mean, I don't play it and it rubs me wrong, too, because it's suddenly like it doesn't matter if you won or lost the game.
Well, I think it matters
for those people.
For those people, because I think if I'm not mistaken, they have more than they don't have just like the Patriots on fantasy team. They'll have different players from all different teams. So for them, it's just about a player doing it. And I guess it's fun. I mean, it's probably a fun thing, kind of like the NCAA tournament. You know, fill out the the tournament thing and see who wins in the workplace. You know, a mm-hmm. workplace type thing. So I mean, I guess it's a fun thing to do at work. I don't know.
Benjamin, before we look to the Dallas Cowboys, a few words on the Browns. I thought the Browns, I mean, you had a tremendous game, but I thought the Browns of any team that you've played showed a little bit more than a lot of the teams you've played so far this year. They played you tough.
Yeah, they did. They did. And, you know, when we came in here and talked on last Friday, you know, we knew it was going to be a tough game and a physical game, and we knew that they were going to play well on defense. And I think they, you know, they came in. I think they executed the game plan. They obviously wanted to take Randy out of the game. And, I mean, even Coach Cornell said, you know, we want to take him out of the game, and that's what they did. So, I mean, I felt like, you know, we definitely left some plays out there on offense that, you know, we definitely want to work on.
Yeah, speaking of the coaching, I just thought in several different ways you showed – Roy McCrinnell showed how he was thinking. He took Randy Moss out of the game. You know, he did what Bill Belichick would do, and that is look at what you do well and not even go there. You know, take it – you know, either take it away or go to the other side. They threw away from Asante Samuel all game. Mm-hmm. They ran to the left side, the offensive left side, as opposed to Ty Warren's side. No one's run on Ty Warren all year. The Browns are the first team to really realize that, so they ran the other way. Mm-hmm. They realized that the key to the offense so far, or you know, the big plays on the offense, have gone Brady Moss, so they took Moss out. And it was I finally saw some coaching from the other side that said, okay, yeah, look, these are the things that they're doing. We're going to stop them or not even go there.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, it's kind of like I think we kind of expected that earlier than we saw it, I mean, in the season. I mean, you got a guy like Randy out there. I mean, even when he's covered, we've all said this before, even when he's covered, you can still get the ball to him because he's such a great player. But I think they definitely tried to at least slow him down and make us at least go the length of the field and not get everything in, you know, 50-yard chunks.
Benjamin Watson here on Patriots Friday and the Mike Felger Show, 890 ESPN. I tease you about Steve Burton. But in actuality, I mean, you are involved in the offense, looking good and healthy and productive out there week in, week out. I don't know if that's not always been the case so far in your in your career. Are you feeling as good and as confident right now as you ever have?
You know, probably, you know, I had the injury the first year. And other than that, you know, my only, you know, real thing was at the end of last year, you know, I had the MCL. But, you know, I feel pretty good. You know, it's my fourth year, really my third year playing. So I obviously feel a little more comfortable than I did the first couple of years. And, you know, about Steve, you got to stay off my board now. You know, that's my boy. I've known, believe it or not, Steve has known me since I was maybe about 3 years old.
Is that right?
That's right.
How's that?
You're
from South Carolina, correct?
From South Carolina. But somehow, there's actually a video, and you're familiar with Fellowship of Christian Athletes?
Yes. It's,
yeah.
Sure.
Well, Steve was giving his testimony at an FCA thing in, like, Pennsylvania, and my dad was speaking at the event, and I'm a little kid running around, and Steve was, had, I think he just got saved or whatever. He was giving his testimony. But we kind of made that connection my rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, never spoke to each other since when I was a kid. But it's kind of weird how things kind of come full circle. So Steve is definitely a friend.
So I'm being obnoxious and teasing
you. You are being obnoxious and teasing.
And it hits close to home. But, you know, be that as it may, I still got to share time with Steve Burton. So I don't mind teasing
And him. I still got to tease you about, you know, Michael Smith and, you know, all this
well,
stuff.
Those guys are better. That's why they're bigger.
That's why they're bigger?
Simple. Absolutely. I'm willing to admit that. Growing up, what was your team?
Growing up, my team was the Bears. I think because I grew up in Virginia for the most part, but my cousin loved the Bears. So he was older than me, and I always wanted to be like my cousin. Mm-hmm. So he liked the Bears, so I liked the Bears.
All right. The reason I ask that is because I think so many players grow up as Cowboy fans.
And
just because, I don't know, you were of the age where...
Well, I'll tell you, my family, my aunt has already called me talking trash.
Really?
Yeah, she's a Cowboy fan. She's like, I hope you do well, but we're going to stampede over you.
I hope you do well, but...
Yes, my own aunt.
Now, what's
my
that
aunt
about?
And my grandfather, who passed away, he would be in heaven right now because he was always a Dallas fan. I don't know why they are. I think because... You know, there was a time when everybody all over the country was Cowboys fans, I guess.
Well, they're America's team.
Exactly.
I think that's it, through various decades, they've always had a huge fan base. And so when players go play in Dallas, I think it's sort of special. They grew up following that team and the Dallas Star and all of that. But you don't have any of that.
I don't have any of that. But there are a lot of players from Texas, you know, who either play in the state of Texas in college or grew up there. So, you know, I agree with you. You know, the Cowboys kind of have that aura about them, you know, as far as NFL goes and people being fans of them.
But this game doesn't have that special. It's not a Cowboy thing this week for you that gives it
special. No, not for me. Not for me. Not for me.
What about 5-0 versus 5-0?
That's big, too. But, you know, really, they're a good team and they're 5-0, but it's another week. I mean, this is the biggest game we've had all season because it's this game. You know, after this week, the next week, you know, last week against Cleveland, that was the biggest game we had all season. And, I mean, that's just how our coaches, that's what they tell us. You know, that's what they teach us, and that's really what we believe.
How do you treat that record? I mean, you're happy to be 5-0.
Yeah.
Are you even allowed to think about it? Are you even allowed to think of 6-0 and being one of only two undefeated teams? Is that how you look at it?
We're not allowed to because we're kind of in a bubble. I mean, we come in and go to practice every day. I mean, the only time we really think about that sort of thing is on game day, at the end of the game, you know, watching other games and seeing what happened. But then, you know, on Wednesday, you're right back at it. You know, you're in your own little box here in Gillette Stadium, and we go out to practice. We get our treatment, you know, get our massages, you know, do all that stuff, lift weights, and then go home. So, you know, we really don't think about it, and I think that's the best way. You know, Coach Belichick a lot of times says, you know, you're in a tunnel. You know, just put one foot in front of the other. There's no light at the end of the tunnel yet. Just put one foot in front of the other, and finally you'll make it to the end of the tunnel. And that's kind of how we look at it.
Another wise man once said that if you have one foot in tomorrow and one foot in yesterday, you're pissing on today.
Wow, that's pretty good. Who was that? Who said that, you know?
I can't remember. Somebody at the bar told
me that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
But yeah, I mean,
you can use that if you want. You don't have to quote me.
I will. I'll use it. I mean, it's my own. But that's a good quote. I mean, it pretty much says the same thing.
What do you see from the Dallas defense?
Well, they're big, you know, big up front, you know, strong, fast. They play their scheme well. They, you know, like to penetrate, get upfield. They like to get to the ball. I mean, all of them. And, you know, the secondary got some big hitters in it. You know, you got Roy Williams back there. And, you know, they're pretty good defense. I mean, obviously, I actually watched Monday Night Football last week. You know, the whole game. I usually don't watch Monday Night Football, the whole thing.
What a game.
Yeah. I mean, incredible game. And, I mean, their defense, you know, played awesome, got some turnovers. So, they are one of the best defenses we faced all year.
They play a 3-4, but it's different than your 3-4.
Yeah. Meaning, you know, our 3-4, it's more of a two gap, you know, more of a, you know, set the edge and everybody play their responsibility. Where, their 3-4, I think they're cut loose a little bit more. They're allowed to, just do what they got to do to get to the ball.
How do they cover tight ends?
They cover a lot with the safeties. You know, they play a little bit of zone, but a lot of times, you know, the tight ends will be covered by the safeties.
Okay, well, that's, I think, good news for you. Roy Williams can't cover.
Well, hopefully I can get open on him. You know, hopefully I can run better routes that he can cover. I mean, that's the goal. And, you know, but, you know, as a team, we just look at it as, you know, we've got some good plays in. We've done a lot of homework this week because they're a team we're not very familiar with. And, you know, we're just going to go out there and make some plays.
What do you think of Terrell Owens?
What do I think of him?
What do you think of him? As a player, as a person, as a personality?
I don't know him as a person. As a player, I think he's a good player. I've watched him a lot. I think he, you know, makes a lot of good plays. He's obviously, you know, physically a gifted guy, or else he wouldn't be at this level, you know, making the plays that he makes. You know, personally, really can't comment on that because I don't know him.
Do you see what he did this week with the letter?
The letter?
In his locker?
Has he spoke to the media yet?
No.
He hasn't?
No.
Good. I mean, that's
smart, right?
Very. I can applaud him. I applaud him for that. Like he's on our program.
Well, did you find his note in any way disrespectful, or would you think Randy Moss would have found his note any way disrespectful, or has anyone said anything internally about it? Like, look at this clown.
I mean, I mean, we kind of read Randy a little bit, you know, but we really don't worry about that. I mean, Randy's not worried about, you know, what Terrell's saying or not saying about him. I mean, you know, it's really not about that. We're just going to worry about ourselves, you know, worry about what we got to do.
Benjamin Watson, Patriots tight end. Thanks so much for coming down, Ben. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, good luck this Sunday, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you.